don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Oil prices today down $2.77 a barrel to $61.51. Good for the consumer, says Tom Closa, the Oil Price Information Service.
I think we're past peak in the wholesale markets, and usually that means that 7 or 8 days later you're at peak in retail.
In short, prices should start coming down soon, and he says he thinks we paid more this past weekend than we will on Memorial Day weekend, barring some kind of price-driving calamity. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad made a big speech today claiming to be producing industrial quantities of enriched uranium, bomb-making amounts, in other words.
The Iranians make a lot of claims, many of which are not true. And this would be a plausible claim for the purposes of domestic politics, as well as an announcement of something that they actually may have done.
Graham Allison at Harvard used to work for the Pentagon in the Clinton administration. President Bush went to Yuma, Arizona, near the Mexico border, to talk about those 6 million who cross illegally each year.
Though members of his own party are against it, President Bush again urged Congress to enact his immigration proposals this year, including a guest worker program for illegal immigrants. He said they would not be granted amnesty, but could eventually apply for U.S. citizenship.
But approval would not be automatic, and they would have to wait in line behind those who played by the rules and followed the law.
But many Republicans remain opposed to the idea, and the administration is quietly floating a plan to make the citizenship provision more difficult. Mark Knoller, CBS News, with the president in Yuma, Arizona.
David Letterman, in taping for tonight's show, asked Barack Obama if he'd run on the same ticket with Hillary Clinton.
You don't run for second. Mm-hmm. No, I don't believe in that. Yeah.
But that would be a powerful ticket, undeniably. That would be a powerful ticket.
Which order are we talking
about? Well, let's say.
Our thanks to Worldwide Pants for that clip. Don Imus is an American radio icon, and he can be very, very funny, but his joke about the Rutgers women's basketball team as nappy-headed hoes, that's his quote, landed with a thud and reaction right off the scale. The number of his apologies may have reached umpteen by now.
Our agenda is to try to be funny, and sometimes we go too far, and sometimes we go way too far.
Al Sharpton said he ought to be fired. Jesse Jackson led a demonstration of about 20-odd people saying they'd march until the walls of bigotry came tumbling down. As for the Rutgers team, University President Richard McCormick.
It was so obvious in their words and in their eyes that they were hurt by what he had said. They were angry. They were perplexed.
On the radio, Don Imus is on WFAN, which is owned by CBS, which of course owns CBS News. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 9 points today to close at 12,569. The Nasdaq was off about 2 points on the day. This is CBS News.
The Royal Bank of Scotland Group presents the Masters Player of the Day. Iowa native and U.S. Ryder Cup player Zach Johnson fires a 3-under par 69 to win his first major golf tournament by 2 strokes over Tiger Woods, Retief Goosen, and Rory Sabatini. Johnson began the day 2 shots behind Stuart Appleby and bogeyed the first hole. Birdies at 2 and 3 brought him back in the hunt. He pushed his advantage to 3 on the back 9 with birdies at 13, 14, and 16. Zach Johnson, the Player of the Day, brought to you by the Royal Bank of Scotland Group. Make it happen.
Another Masters moment. It's 1986 and Jack Nicklaus answers his critics and returns to the leaderboard at the age of 46. At the par 3 16th, Jack fires an iron at the flag. He never looked up, just bent down, retrieved his tee, and smiled. The ball nestled 4 feet from the pin, a moment no one will ever forget.
The Royal Bank of Scotland Group knows that success means hanging in there even when everyone thinks it's impossible. RBS, make it happen.
A memorial for Eddie Robinson today in Baton Rouge.
Hundreds of mourners filed past Robinson's casket today, including Adolph Byrd, who played for the coach when he first started at Grambling State in the 1940s.
He always looked to the future, and he always told us that we could be anything we want to be if we were prepared.
The outpouring of love and support was gratifying to Robinson's wife, Doris.
I'm just so proud of him and proud of having been his wife.
Robinson coached 57 years, retiring in 1997 with over 400 career wins. At that time, a record for any college coach. Mike Conti for CBS News, New Orleans.
Some people talk about starting over, and some folks mean what they say. Lisa Perry's one of them. She's 45 and plans to sell nearly all of her belongings in one massive eBay auction. The top bidder will get more than 300 items, ranging from snowshoes, she's from St. Paul, Minnesota, to a bed, a futon, seashells, and her Village People album. Not a crisis, she says. It's midlife excitement. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
If you're living in a space that's too small, or too large, or too old, or just too ugly, here's what you do. Take a 2x4 to the problem. Maybe some 2x6s. Heck, just take all your lumber and give it to a member of the American Institute of Architects. We'll design a home that fits your needs and your budget to a T. Call an AIA architect early, so your living space won't be too this or too that, but just right. AIA. Good design makes a difference. Visit AIA.org.
Risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our Design Print and Ship Depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at OfficeDepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Thanks for joining us again today here on the Peter B. Collins Show. The only place I'd rather be is sailing on San Francisco Bay. Not a bad day for that. Here I am behind the microphone, ready to talk with you and at you over the next 3 hours about important issues in the news and affecting our world. Coming up about a half an hour, we're going to meet Professor Kamran Asdar Ali. He's a professor of anthropology at the University of Texas and an expert on Pakistan. We're going to talk about that nation. It's important to the U.S. in the formerly labeled Global War on Terror. And how long can Pervez Musharraf hold on to his tenuous grip on power there? We'll get the lowdown about a half an hour away. Also on today's program, 1 hour from now, Tom Jackson will join us. He's kind of an average dude who took a look at the climate change issues and decided to make his own documentary. It's called Out of Balance, and it's about the misinformation, or if you prefer, disinformation, that comes from ExxonMobil and other resource extractors, trying to play down and lay confusion all around these issues. And there's less confusion than ever if you saw the report coming out of the UN-affiliated group on Friday. And speaking of responses to climate change, one of them is to get a hybrid and a plug-in hybrid. Sherry Boschert returns to our program coming up next hour. She's the author of Plug-in Hybrids, and there's an exciting new development about how you can put your hybrid in the garage and use it to power your house. It's called V2G, Vehicle to Grid. And in the free speech zone today, we're going to give out free DVDs of Tom Jackson's film Out of Balance to first-time callers. So if you've been looking for that extra incentive, we've got it for you today. We'll be taking your calls in the free speech zone. Of course, you can call before then with a question or comment anytime. We break for comments from listeners. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. And you can always email me. It's Peter at PeterBCollins.com. Paul Waldman joins us right now to kick off the show from Media Matters for America. They're on the web at MediaMatters.org. Paul, how are you today?
Good, Peter. How are you?
Not bad. Thanks for joining us. Did you survive the Easter Bunny's visit?
I did.
Yeah? Well, I'm trying
Everyone
to...
Everyone here is intact.
A lot of chocolate floating around, but we're doing our best to stay focused. Don Imus is in a whole lot of deep doo-doo, and it's not just the remarks that he made about Rutgers basketball, female basketball players, but as you point out at Media Matters, this over-the-hill has-been shock jock
Sorry, Don. has a whole history.
Don't mince words, Peter.
He's a racist recidivist.
Yes, and you know, if this was the first time this kind of thing had happened on Don Imus' show, that would be one thing. But the fact is, it isn't. And I heard somebody, I can't remember who it was today, defend him by saying, you know, it's okay because he offends everybody. You know, he offends Jews, he offends blacks, he offends gays, he's just a kind of an equal opportunity bigot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not much of a defense. But, the fact is that he, on his show, over the years, there's been lots of incidents like this. You know, way back in, I think it was 2000, Clarence Page, the columnist for the Chicago Tribune, I believe, or the Sun-Times, he, who is African-American, he went on Imus' show, and he's one of the many journalists who had been on Imus' show, and he made Imus take a pledge that he wouldn't engage in that kind of behavior. He actually had Imus hold up his right hand and promise that he wouldn't, you know, talk about, refer to people as pimps and hoes and things like that, and make any kind of racist remarks, and have any of his cohorts there imitate black people. And Imus took that pledge, but not only apparently didn't invite Clarence Page back, he set about to break it pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the kind of thing that we've seen many, many times coming from Imus, and I think it's long overdue that it got attention.
Well, and, you know, I think, as I mentioned in my unkind summary, I think that Don Imus is groping. He's an older guy. He's living in Howard Stern's world, and he is trying to be hip and hip-hop and, you know, be a street cool dude. And, you know, he's an overpaid conservative white guy who really shouldn't be talking about hoes and nappy-headed hoes, because I don't think he really knows too much about that world.
Yeah, I don't know if he does or not, but I don't think it's appropriate for anybody, frankly. That's what's causing this so much attention. You know, it was quite a sight today. I saw on TV, I don't know if you saw it, he went on Al Sharpton's radio show to try to make another apology. Al Sharpton was not in a forgiving mood. And at one point, he said, "I want to introduce you to this young lady. She's going to Temple University." This young woman came over and was sort of standing over Imus. And Sharpton said, "She's not a nappy-headed hoe. She's my daughter." And you could tell that Imus just wanted to sink into his chair. It was, you know, whatever people may think about Al Sharpton, he knows how to shame someone.
Yeah.
So it was quite a sight. But, you know, there people are very, very upset about this. And, you know, I think that one of the things that really deserves some attention, I would imagine most people, you know, Imus has a pretty big audience, but I'll bet most of your audience doesn't listen to him. And the thing about his show is that it's part this kind of sophomoric humor that is often done at the expense of different kind of groups of people. And then he also has relatively serious discussions with major media figures.
Mm-hmm.
They love coming on his show. I'm talking about people like Brian Williams and Tim Russert and Howard Fineman of Newsweek and Chris Matthews.
Bill Clinton.
All these these media people, but also politicians too, but these very kind of elite, powerful, influential media figures who all go on his show and have continued to, even though this kind of stuff goes on there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that people need to start asking them whether or not they're going to confront him or maybe just choose not to go on anymore.
Well, and we have a clip here I'm going to play from the Media Matters website, which is Howard Fineman giving a little lecture to his pal Don Imus.
Just before on the show, I was coming upstairs and my cell phone rang, and it was some listener who called me out of the blue. I'd never heard the guy before, never heard his name. He called me and he said, "Are you going to go on the show and finally confront this Imus guy? Are you going to quit enabling him?" And, you know, I thought about that, and I said to the guy, you know, I'll puzzle that through on the radio. And I would like to continue to enable you to do a lot of the good things that you do, including, you know, talking about stuff happening in the world, which you do a very good job of on this show. You know, the form of humor that you do here is risky, and sometimes it runs off the rails. Most of the people who listen to this show get the joke most of the time. And sometimes, you know, as David Carr said in the New York Times this morning, sometimes you go over the line so far you can't even see the line. And that's what happened in this case. And I think of all the stuff that you've done and do, and, you know, you make your mistakes. We all make our mistakes. we all make mistakes. This was a big one, and I thought that the way you handled it just now, and I'm not blowing smoke here, I believe it, you know, was very heartfelt. And I know you well enough to know that that's the case, and you're going to do everything you can to set it right.
Now, Don is sitting there taking this with some humility. He's not wearing a hat or sunglasses as usual, and he was virtually mute there. Let's see what he has to say.
You know, I don't know what will happen. I think, you know, it's a different time, Imus. You know, where it's a different than it was even a few years ago politically. I mean, we may, you know, in the environment politically has changed. And some of the stuff that you used to do, you probably can't do anymore.
No, you can't. I mean,
you just can't, because the times have changed. I mean, just looking specifically at the African-American situation, I mean, hello, Barack Obama's got twice the number of contributors of anybody else in the race.
Amen.
I mean, you know, things have changed. And some of the kind of humor that you used to do, you can't do anymore. So that's just the way it is.
But I would say, in the spirit of charity, that the same black journalists who are calling for me to be fired had the option, and the same black leaders, they had the option to call me when I was asking for weeks about help in trying to get more information about sickle cell anemia, about what the government was doing, about what could be done, about research, and nobody called me. I'm not looking to get patted on the back for that, but those are the facts.
Now, that's hardly a relevant matter. Would you agree, Paul?
Yeah, hardly. And I think Feynman, what he's saying is very interesting, you know. First of all, he says that, well, you know, most people get the jokes most of the time. There seems to be an implication there that it's somehow the audience's fault for not getting the joke.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he's talking about how, oh, you know, times have changed, and now Barack Obama has a lot of contributors, so we can't, just can't indulge in that sort of humor anymore. Not that there's anything wrong with it, Feynman seems to be saying. It's not because it's wrong. It's because, well, you know, people are more sensitive now. I think a lot of people listened to that and sort of shook their heads in amazement that someone like Feynman, who is also on MSNBC as a contributor and writes for Newsweek, is a big-time journalist, that's the attitude that he takes. But, you know, a lot of these people seem to be almost circling the wagons around Imus. You know,
yeah.
Tom Oliphant, who's a liberal columnist, used to write for the Boston Globe, went on today and talked about how, you know, how he knows Imus and that's why he's standing by him. And that seems to be the attitude from a lot of journalists.
Mm-hmm. Feynman forgot the litany from Biden when he was talking about Obama's 100,000 contributors. And not only that, he's clean and articulate. I agree with you. Feynman, in his effort to actually, you know, critique his friend on the air, and I can appreciate how difficult that is, actually stepped in some freshly made doo-doo of his own there.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, just to say, well, you know, it's not okay anymore, and it used to be okay, but now it's not. It almost sounded like he was lamenting that fact.
Yeah.
That somehow people had grown oversensitive.
Yeah, Don, you know, since you came back from the time warp, things have changed. We're going to take a break and return with Paul Waldman, and Billy's on the line. He disagrees with the dinging of Don Imus. We'll get his thoughts in just a moment. And you can join the conversation, too, toll-free. Just don't use the term nappy-headed hoes, and we'll do okay. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in Soquel Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Ray of frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, Soquel Drive and Porter Street in Soquel.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Yeah, because it was Bernard who said, Besa mi culo, not me. We're talking about Don Imus's problems on the radio. I'm Peter B. Collins, and we're talking with Paul Waldman, fellow at the Media Matters for America on the web, mediamatters.org. And, Paul, we got some callers who want to talk about this issue. Billy Sunshine joins us. Hey, Billy, how you doing?
Hey, I'm fine. And congratulations. You guys are, this is a great discussion. Peter, congratulations on the numbers for the station here.
Oh, thanks. We don't talk about that on the air.
Well, you did it without cursing or making fun of people. not how I operate. I have a radio show, and I don't like to be nice to everybody. I like to really let it go and be real passionate, and I don't know what I'm going to say before I say it. Unlike a lot of people, I don't have 20 writers like they do at the comedy shows, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I might say something that I don't even mean, but it may come out of my mouth,
right?
You know, and the thing is that with Imus, you know, he does this juvenile brand of humor, like boys on a basketball court, and he makes fun of everybody. You know, he talks about the Jews he works for and how cheap they are or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All his people constantly make fun of him about how old and ugly he is. Right?
I don't know. I don't watch or listen that often. And when I have flipped him on TV, I see him with a hat and sunglasses. You can barely make out any of his facial expressions. I don't know why he bothers to go on TV. And then he does not move his lips when he talks. Imus in the morning. What do you got? Bernard, let's do some sports. What do you say?
But here's the thing. I'm really into this because, as it happened, I was talking to a radio station owner earlier this week about language and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And how chilling it is now to have the fine be $350,000 for one curse word.
Yeah.
And how fear, in fact, that's what my show is going to be about this Sunday. The theme is going to be fear and what it's like to be afraid to speak and who wants you to be afraid to speak. And how about the radio having knobs? And one more thing, it's okay to be offended. Everybody doesn't have to build their lives up so that you don't get offended. I really enjoy offending people of faith, for example.
Okay.
And
now,
I
Billy,
don't want
Billy,
anybody to ever stop me from doing that.
Let me get the
direction we're going in.
Let me get a comment from Paul here. Paul, what Billy's railing against are the confines of political correctness.
Yes.
And on one level, Don Imus has committed repeated offenses against political correctness. Is it enough for him to say, as Billy just intoned, that, gee, Imus goes after everybody, therefore it's okay?
That's certainly not okay. To say that, you know, you're just defending everyone, so that's not a problem. But, you know, this isn't really about, I don't think this is so much about political correctness. I mean, Don Imus isn't getting fined. The FCC is not going to fine him over this. The regulations about what kind of speech they go after, it's basically indecent speech, which means it has to do with sex.
Right.
It's really ridiculous, isn't it?
Pretty much what it is.
It is.
What he said is so much more damaging than talking about sex.
Well, we can debate about whether their standards for that are good or bad, but that's not really an issue. There really isn't a legal question here. There's a question of being responsible. And I think, you know, the problem isn't even so much with Imus himself, although he's certainly a problem, and he's been a problem for a long time.
Yeah, he's been a problem for a long time now.
But, mm-hmm. You know, there are other people who validate him. When Tim Russert and Howard Feynman and Brian Williams and all these guys and go on his show and kiss his ring as they do and treat him like he's you know, some sort of star and respectable figure, they validate the other things that he does. Mm-hmm. And they can say, well, you know, when the segment that I'm on, he's not doing that stuff. But still, you know, I don't think they'd go on with some hate monger like Michael Savage.
Well, exactly.
So,
Michael Savage is on. This is
responsibility.
But Michael Savage is on the air every day.
Well, and I would, Billy, I would tend to side with you here for a moment that Michael Savage is more consistently offensive and hateful than even the litany of things that Don Imus has been caught episodically doing. But one of our problems is we don't have any way of regulating to taste. And people have run roughshod over that. I think that
what's
Savage.
What's wrong with that?
I think Savage.
What's wrong with Savage doing his whole his hate radio? Then you and I can get on and balance his speech with our speech. The only cure for speech is really more speech.
All right, Billy, I'm with you there, but I also draw the line. I think Savage is destructive and hateful.
Yeah.
And I do not believe he should be censored. I believe that the radio stations that carry him should have a higher sense of responsibility. Thanks for your call today, Sandra in Sacramento. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Listen, I was just going by that last segment you played. I mean, that is even more disturbing to see these other powerful white men rally around this racist in order to sort of pop him up and say, oh, listen, buddy, you can't talk about the Negroes anymore. Chill out. That's mm-hmm. the impression I get. And it's just like, are you kidding me? These girls are respectable college students, and they deserve to be called, what, nappy-headed hoes? That's okay?
Well, and Feynman was actually concerned because Don got caught.
Well, no, it's just really disgusting. The whole mentality is they're so out of touch. It's like, you're going to sit there and lecture this other man about, hey, bud, you mm-hmm. know, I want to keep calling his show, but, you know, you can't talk about the Negroes and the
great
kids
Sandra,
and stuff anymore.
Sandra, great
yeah.
comment. I want to squeeze in one more. Joe in Brookings, Oregon. Go ahead. Just 20 seconds.
Oh, well, a brain-dead moron like Don Imus said something stupid. Big surprise. I don't really want to... Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson to be our official censors, as I would Sean Hannity or Bill O'Reilly. I think these guys are full of it.
Okay, thanks a lot. Paul, we got an earful there.
Yes, we did. People have strong opinions about this, which I think is why he's getting so much attention.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us today. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, my pleasure.
Paul Waldman, MediaMatters.org. Coming up next, we'll take a look at Pakistan on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Todd the Taxi Driver, and here's what I'm hacked off about today. Republican Congressman John Bonner. He recently called on Speaker Pelosi to reconvene Congress early next week to pass the budget for Bush's war. He claims this issue is of national importance. What a hypocrite. Last year, when the Republicans controlled the House, they didn't pass the budget. They even left office without passing the budget. Now, wasn't that an issue of national importance, Mr. Bonner? Just as George W. is leaving the mess he created in Iraq for the next administration, the 109th Republican Do-Nothing Congress left the tough choices to the Democrats. And then they can blame someone else for the deficits and problems they created. You've been listening to the opinions of Todd the Taxi Driver. If you'd like to hear more, listen to my show, The Week in Politics, Monday night, 10 p.m.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, what are you having for lunch?
My personal chef is making it now.
Your personal chef?
Yeah, the lunch lady in the school cafeteria.
Kids should think of me as their personal chef. Well-balanced meals at school are very important for their bodies and their minds. Make sure they eat right and take advantage of the personal chef in their school cafeteria.
Stay fit, eat right. Looking Good California is a public service of the California School Nutrition Association. For help with your family's nutrition, visit stayfiteatright.org.
In these United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech in a free speech zone. You have the right to an attorney. You have the right to a speedy trial. Well, not if you're in Guantanamo. You have the right to privacy. No, wait. No, the FBI can read your mail and listen to your phone calls. America, where are your rights? Join Billy Sunshine, then we'll find them for you.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM, Sundays 3 to 5.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Minutes after the hour, we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from San Francisco. And your calls and comments are welcome. If we strike a nerve, let us know about it. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And my personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. You can send your comments about the show, opinions you hear expressed, or ideas for guests or topics that you think fit here. Just let us know. peter@peterbcollins.com or our producer, Katrina Rill, katrina@peterbcollins.com. If you follow the news, there's been quite a bit going on in the nation of Pakistan over the last month or two. Pervez Musharraf is the U.S. boy there, and he has a very, very delicate grip on power. On the one hand, he has a very strong army with fundamentalist Muslims who largely are believed to control Pakistan's nuclear weapons. And he also is seen by many Pakistanis as too friendly to the United States of America. And his stability is critical to many of the bets the Bush administration has made in that part of the world. Joining us to update us and offer commentary is Kamran Asdar Ali. He is Associate Professor of Anthropology, Middle East Studies, and Asian Studies at the University of Texas in Austin. And he's an editor of Middle East Report. Chris Tunsing was just on our program the other day. The professor's recent publications focus on social and popular history of Pakistan. He's the author of Planning the Family in Egypt, New Bodies, New Selves, that was published in 2002, and an editor of Gendering Urban Space in the Middle East, South Asia, and Africa, which is due out sometime soon. Professor, thank you for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you for having me.
First of all, perhaps you can update our listeners. One of the controversies involves Musharraf's effort to dismiss the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, or its equivalent, in Pakistan. And it led to remarkable demonstrations by lawyers in a nation that's pretty well buttoned up and locked down and doesn't permit a lot of public expression like that.
Yes, and that is true. What happens is it happened that the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, which is of course not an elected body, which is like the separation of the executive legislature and the judiciary in Pakistan, the constitution allows the separation. Although I'll go through what happened and then also tell a little bit about the way in which these different institutions function at the present time in Pakistan.
All right.
President, General Musharraf, he dismissed or has brought charges against and suspended the Chief Justice, saying and has brought charges of corruption or mismanagement or otherwise, and that of course led to an uproar by the larger sort of lawyer organization, and this is one of the first times that this kind of confrontation by a civil society, which had more or less been sort of in agreement with General Musharraf on to a large degree, sort of have opposed him in and this is sort of really, at least in the last 5-6 years, has been a unique kind of movement. The issue being that the Chief Justice was seen as a threat in terms of his independence from the executive branch, in terms of there have been cases of hundreds of people have disappeared in the last 4 or 5 years in Pakistan, especially in the last 2-3 years with the insurgency in Balochistan, and also other journalists and political activists have been disappeared, and there are all these habeas corpus writs in front of the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court judge or Chief Justice was entertaining them, or at least was sympathetic to hearing these writs. The other thing being that the Chief Justice had embarrassed the government in some privatization issues. The largest steel mill in Pakistan was being privatized, and there were issues around that the government was making a deal which was not transparent and clean-cut. And the unions and other interested parties had brought the case in front of the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court had ruled in favor against the government and trying to make the process more transparent.
But Professor Ali, isn't one of the central points of contention here that Musharraf would like to extend his rule, and to do so he needs to amend the Constitution or come up with some other way that would permit him to remain as a prime minister, or actually president, and a military leader?
Absolutely. I was coming to that. And the most important one being that under the Pakistani constitution, the same sitting parliament cannot elect the president. The president is an indirectly elected position, mm-hmm, by the parliament, and the same parliament cannot elect the president twice. So the elections are to be held later in the year. If they were to be held, they would be held later in the year. And prior to having a new and fresh election for the National Assembly, which is the parliament, he was hoping that this parliament would elect him as president for another 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And there were contentions, and of course this would have been challenged, and there were fears that the Chief Justice would not be as favorable to the president's point of view. You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And so when these lawyers took to the streets to protest this effort to sack the Chief Justice, whose name is Chaudhry, by the way,
yes.
Was their issue the power of Musharraf and his desire to essentially, you know, extend his dictatorial rule? Or was it more a solidarity statement with the Chief Justice on the whole range of issues that you cited?
I think the Chief Justice becomes a symbol of the ongoing and accumulating frustration against the military rule in the past 7 years in Pakistan, and it has been a rule of ups and downs, and any kind of dissent has either been co-opted or been in terms blackmailed. For instance, the military has been very very successful in playing the Islamist card in terms of that. Well, if we go away, look, these jihadis or these extremist Islamist forces will come out. So it has tried to co-opt the liberal middle class or the secular. On the other hand, it has totally sidelined or has not allowed the leaders of the mainstream or the most popular parties in Pakistan to come back. So in ways that it has manipulated the political and social life of Pakistan, and I think the dismissal of the Chief Justice became a focal point for a lot of grievances, and and Justice Chaudhry's personality and his dismissal became a symbol for those kinds of pent-up anger.
Mm-hmm. Now, as this is playing out, Dick Cheney, on a recent tour of the world that we thought was to avoid being here when the Scooter Libby verdict came in, he stopped off in Pakistan. And by his account, he delivered a tough message to President General Musharraf.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that message and, in general, how U.S. pressure on Musharraf plays with the generals and with the public at large.
I think it would be fair to say that Vice President Cheney went there and said something to General Musharraf. I don't know how strong or harsh it was. I think what the present American regime told him is that we won't be able to back you as staunchly as possible because there are new people in town, right? The Congress has changed hands.
Mm-hmm.
So basically also trying to push Musharraf in terms of American goals in the region, in terms of that the Musharraf cracked down more heavily on the Pakistani side, the idea that Taliban is using Pakistani territory to stage attacks on the NATO forces in Afghanistan, and also on the resurgence or regrouping of the Al-Qaeda.
Well, there's also a not-so-secret plan for a spring offensive on the Taliban and Al-Qaeda along the border areas of Afghanistan and Pakistan, and it has been suggested, but again, we don't know exactly what Cheney and Musharraf discussed, but one of the suggestions is that Cheney was trying to get more cooperation from Pakistan for this upcoming effort that, like I say, is not too secret.
The Pakistanis have been generally good with the Al-Qaeda issue, especially in 2002, 2003, 2004. They have been very helpful to the American government's war on terror in that region. The Pakistanis' relationship with Taliban has been very long-standing. You have to remind ourselves that prior to 2001, the Pakistani state and the military were the number one backers of the Taliban in Afghanistan. It is the September 11 tragedy in the United States and the threats to the Pakistani regime that automatically changed their minds, right? It was the issue of survival of the Pakistani military at that stage. So the relationship between Taliban and the Pakistani state and military has been much more long-term, and they have been much more reluctant to move against the Taliban. So I think, and also the American government was sort of missing in action. With the Iraq war, the issue of Afghanistan was sort of not in the front burner. And now all of a sudden in the last 2 years, as Taliban has regrouped and made its sort of accommodations with the Pakistani state or in certain areas where they have become much more independent and have managed to recruit, or reorganize,
mm-hmm.
this has become a problem again. And now the the there's pressure on the Pakistani state and the military regime to deliver on those attempts.
Right. We're talking with Professor Cameron Asdar Ali from the University of Texas. And, Professor, let me just read a quick passage here. This is from the current issue of The Nation magazine, and it's written by Graham Usher, a journalist based in Islamabad.
Mm-hmm. I know, Graham.
The Army's tribal campaigns lasted nearly 3 years. With every incursion, civilian death, and displacement, the Pakistan Taliban grew stronger. They defended villages, ambushed army patrols, killed pro-government elders, and imposed their own brand of Islamic law and order. When the Army sued for peace with pro-Taliban tribesmen in the Waziristans in 05 and 06, it was not because of a new holistic strategy for the tribal areas as sold by Musharraf to Washington. It was because of the Army's military and political defeat. 700 soldiers had been killed, many deserted. A handful of commissioned officers were court-martialed for refusing to serve. The numbers of civilians killed and displaced in the thousands. Everyone supported the Taliban when the Army came in. It was a people's revolt. Pakistan had broken its promise, and that's a big thing in the tribal areas. You don't break your promise, says Malik Qadir Khan, a tribal leader in North Waziristan. What's your comment on his report?
No, Graham has been reporting for a while, and I think it's generally, this is how it is. I mean, I think he has got it right, basically. Mm-hmm. Of course, the military, we have to also realize that a lot of the Pakistani military's forces are recruited from, if not the tribal areas, but from adjacent areas. So they may be kin ties or historic ties. And so, too, for the Pakistani military to move against its own, although it's a disciplined force, one doesn't doubt that. It's sort of an emotional toil as well, but also they lost people, and mm-hmm. it was a terrain that they were not familiar with.
Now, Professor, let me jump here and ask you this, because there are many Americans, particularly conservatives, who believe that the U.S. should be able to just go into these tribal areas of Pakistan and do whatever it takes to apprehend Osama bin Laden and Mullah Omar and the others who are at the nexus of al-Qaeda and the Taliban, according to U.S. intelligence. What would happen if the U.S. did that, and why has Bush been so restrained to date?
I'm not sure why. I mean, the last question is a difficult one, but precisely what will happen is an important one. You have to understand that this is an area, historically, that has been very suspicious of outsiders. We have seen this not only with the Soviet Union, but even prior to that with the British. So this is the larger area in which the British always never had control, and eventually it had to create certain kinds of negotiations and treaties to create a truce. And the same thing, I mean, part of it, of course, you may have the American public may have problems with the Taliban and all that kind of stuff, but part of it, the recruitment strategy is also the issue of an invading army, which they think the NATO and the US are. So there is a nationalist element here as well. And for, U.S. forces going in there, it will be another quagmire that we are facing in Iraq, and which we faced in Vietnam, and which may even we may face in Afghanistan. So the resolution has to be in terms of a political resolution. And in those terms, one has to also start thinking of the world not only in terms of American strategic interests, but of the interests of the region and the players in the region, especially the people of the region, in terms of Pakistan, Afghanistan, and other regional forces, even Iran. So what they perceive as, what we perceive as that, our strategic interests on the ground, people may perceive as high-handedness and arrogance of the American state, and then also supporting military regimes while talking about democracy. So the solution for Pakistan and its area is sort of to deepen the democratic impulses of the region, of trying to support those forces that are democratically elected and in a free and fair election, mm-hmm. and then through that come to some kind of political resolution of this issue.
All right, Professor, we need to take a break. We'll return in just a moment. Cameron Asdar Ali, Associate Professor of Anthropology at the University of Texas in Austin. He's with us till the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment about Pakistan, give us a call now. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B. It's 888-573-8372. And you're listening to The Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
C seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience, who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, coming up about 15 minutes from now. Tom Jackson, an independent filmmaker, has a new doc out called Out of Balance about ExxonMobil's impact on the climate change debate. I put that in question marks. There isn't much debate, but they want one, and they're paying for it. We continue now with an update on Pakistan from Kamran Azdar Ali, Associate Professor of Anthropology, Middle East Studies, and Asian Studies at the University of Texas at Austin, and also an editor of the Middle East Report there on the web at merip.org. That's merip.org. Professor, if you'll indulge me, I want to return to a point I was raising just before the break, and I recognize that this is entirely hypothetical. But what if, instead of, after we invaded Afghanistan, instead of going into Iraq, if we had continued the hunt for Mullah Omar and Osama bin Laden, and I recognize that capturing these two people does not necessarily, decimate their organizations, but for many people, the response to 9/11 made some sense when we went into Afghanistan. It's never made any sense for me that we went into Iraq. And had we devoted even a tenth of the resources and focus to actually capturing these individuals and trying to degrade their organizations, I believe we'd be much better off. But the big hypothetical is, what if the U.S. had gone into these provinces of Pakistan, including North and South Waziristan?
Well, I mean, of course, it's an hypothetical, and your guess is as good as mine, but having lived in Pakistan, grown up in Pakistan, and knowing the Pakistani politics and people, this would have been disastrous for American foreign policy and would have been only seen as adventurism by the Pakistani people, and it would have turned even supporters of the U.S. government and the sympathy that was sort of international sympathy for the tragedies of 9/11 in New York, Washington, and Pennsylvania. I mean, this would have been, I mean, crossing a sovereign boundary and going after people into a sovereign state without any pretext that sovereign state at that point, at least, had been supportive of the Al Qaeda or was working against American interests in the war in Afghanistan. I mean, of course, so that would have been a disaster. I don't know what it would have accomplished. I'm not sure whether they would have even there would have been a lot of death and destruction, and there would have been another part of the world which would have been it could have turned into another Iraq there as well. It's a very complex and a large country. It's not a it's a country with high level of sophistication in terms of technology and other kinds of assets. So it would not have worked in my mind. But these are hypotheticals. Sure. I don't know. I mean,
and again, citing Graham Usher in The Nation, and if you want to read it, it's the April 16 edition. You can find it online at thenation.com.
I haven't received it yet.
Oh, well, mine came last week. I'm lucky.
Okay.
He wrote, "Last October, a madrasa was bombed in Banjar tribal area."
Banjar, yes.
Thank you. Leaving 82 dead.
Yes.
In January, 8 were killed in a like attack in South Waziristan.
Mm-hmm.
Musharraf said the first hit was against a Taliban training camp, the second against Al-Qaeda. Locals said seminary students were slain in the first case, woodcutters in the second. And they insisted that the attacks were not executed by Pakistani army helicopters, but by U.S. Predator drones flown in from Afghanistan. And he writes the response has been ferocious.
Absolutely. And it's not only been ferocious in terms of those parties or those elements in Pakistani society that are pro-Islamist or are sort of in who agree with the larger sort of agendas of Islamist movement in the world, but also by the secular and the liberal and the more democratic parts of the country, which are, you know, generally more sympathetic to the, or at least are against the Islamization processes or are sort of the taking over of Islamists of Pakistan. So I think it was, it has been established by independent sources that these were most probably not Pakistani forces that had attacked, but there's still speculation. But whatever it was, there was a lot of death of very young, and maybe we're not sure. And the whole thing is that the reporting, when journalists went in there, they were threatened, and there were there are reports that some people were not allowed to go there, and those who were threatened not to report what they saw. So there was a lot of misreporting and at least censoring of reports coming out of there. But things do come out. It's not that we don't live in medieval ages.
Right.
You know,
So, Professor, about a minute and a half remaining here. What is your counsel to the United States to deal with the complex issues here? Because I recognize that Musharraf has a tenuous grip on power, and I fear the unknown more, I guess, than the known of his rule so far. At the same time, he's not a very reliable partner for the United States, and Bush seems to have bet on keeping him in power and yet not really pressing him too hard for the goals he wants in terms of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah. I mean, the unfortunate thing is that the loyalty of the Pakistani army is to itself, the Pakistani army. If they could sort of sell Taliban, whom they had supported and created, in one day, then they would think about their own longevity before anything else. That is my political and personal opinion. The thing is that for the long-term benefit, and if you're taking a long-term view, then the only way Pakistan has to go is to sort of have a change of government, have fair and free election, and we elect whoever comes to power and allow the leaders who are outside to come in and participate in these elections. And it should be, I would argue, even under UN or other kinds of auspices so that they can see nothing goes wrong, and then only a political government could be mature enough to see of the long-term interests of Pakistan and the strategic interests that we have with the United States, because these people will basically continue to work for their own benefit, and I think betting on generals is never a good idea.
And Professor, I'm out of time. Thank you for joining us. Cameron Asdar Ali, Associate Professor of Anthropology, Middle East Studies, and Asian Studies, University of Texas in Austin. Thank you, sir.
Hi, thank you, sir.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Iran defies the United States and the UN.
Their controversial nuclear program is being expanded.
IMUS apologizes again.
Our agenda is to try to be funny, and sometimes we go too far, but sometimes we go way too far.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was a dramatic announcement. At Iran's uranium enrichment facility, President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad declared his country has joined the nuclear club. He claimed to be operating 3,000 centrifuges to enrich uranium. That's more than 10 times the number of centrifuges previously revealed. But even if he's not exaggerating, CBS News correspondent Sheila McVicker reports there seems to be no imminent threat.
Nuclear proliferation experts say if Iranian scientists could resolve all their many technical problems to successfully run several thousand centrifuges, they could possibly have enough highly enriched uranium to make a nuclear weapon or two within a couple of years. But U.S. intelligence still believes even with this expansion, Iran is more likely close to a decade away from the bomb.
Iran continues to insist its nuclear program is for peaceful purposes. The fourth anniversary of the fall of Baghdad prompted a big demonstration in Iraq today. Reporter Pete Gao tells us tens of thousands of Shiites rallied in the cities of Kufa and Najaf, demanding an end to the U.S. occupation of their country.
There was certainly a lot of quite robust and violent rhetoric used by the speakers there, the kind of thing that we've become quite used to hearing from Muqtada al-Sadr and his followers, anti-American slogans. They want the Americans out. They want the Americans to be out of here before this time next year, so next year they can celebrate a unified and liberated Iraq.
The White House calls the demonstrations a sign of progress, saying they show Iraqi democracy at work. Now this.
You put Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chop.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday mixed grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Hi, Dave. It's Sarah. Hey, first thing tomorrow morning, a steel shelf on 12 is going to give way. You know, the one that stores all the toner. Yeah. Anyway, we'll give you a call when it breaks. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Grainger's just added a massive amount of shelving and storage products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From shelves, bins, and cabinets to packaging, we have what you need to store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Alternately humble and combative, Don Imus went on Al Sharpton's radio show today to face the music for his racist comment about the Rutgers women's basketball team. Imus apologized, admitting he went way too far, but Sharpton told Imus he should resign or be fired.
If you realize that something must be done, why would you then feel that we are out of order to ask that you step aside?
I didn't say that.
Oh, you don't think we're out of order?
No, sir.
So you've come to sign your resignation?
No, I'm not signing anything.
Sharpton said Imus has to pay a price.
If you walk away from this unscathed, the next guy can say whatever he wants and
How
just say, I'm sorry.
Unscathed?
Are you crazy? How am I unscathed by this? Don't you think I'm humiliated?
The Amish Show airs on CBS Radio, which calls the comment completely inappropriate. It's simulcast on cable by MSNBC, which just announced it's suspending the show for 2 weeks. The president of Rutgers says members of the NCAA Women's Championship team are hurt, angry, and anguished by Amish's remark. He's offered to meet with them and apologize. Gasoline prices are up for the 10th week in a row. The government pegs the national average for regular at just over $2.80 a gallon. But there is good news for the future. Crude oil prices plunged nearly $3 a barrel today, settling at $61.51. Tom Kloza of the Oil Price Information Service thinks we're coming down from a peak.
The prices we see this week may represent the highest prices we see for most of the next 100 days or so. And there's a little bit of a chance that we might approach these numbers or go nominally above them in August.
That, he says, depends on the weather. President Bush today renewed his call for immigration reform. He went to Yuma, Arizona, where there's a new double-layer fence along the Mexican border.
This border should be open to trade and lawful immigration and shut down to criminals and drug dealers and terrorists and coyotes and smugglers, people who prey on innocent life.
Many Republicans oppose the president's plan for a guest worker program, but Mr. Bush says the atmosphere is good right now with Democrats in charge on Capitol Hill. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
The Royal Bank of Scotland Group presents the Masters Player of the Day. Iowa native and U.S. Ryder Cup player Zach Johnson fires a 3-under-par 69 to win his first major golf tournament by 2 strokes over Tiger Woods, Retief Goosen, and Rory Sabatini. Johnson began the day 2 shots behind Stuart Appleby and bogeyed the first hole. Birdies at 2 and 3 brought him back in the hunt. He pushed his advantage to 3 on the back 9 with birdies at 13, 14, and 16. Zach Johnson, the Player of the Day, brought to you by the Royal Bank of Scotland Group. Make it happen.
Another Masters moment. It's 1986 and Jack Nicklaus answers his critics and returns to the leaderboard at the age of 46. At the par 3 16th, Jack fires an iron at the flag. He never looked up, just bent down, retrieved his tee, and smiled. The ball nestled 4 feet from the pin, a moment no one will ever forget.
The Royal Bank of Scotland Group knows that success means hanging in there even when everyone thinks it's impossible. RBS, make it happen.
Would you mind filling out this?
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
This portion of the Peter B. Collins Show is not being brought to you by ExxonMobil or any other resource extracting industry.
Well, there's a little something that's been freaking me. I read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like hairspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. A spooky little thing called global warming. Fluorofluorocarbon strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come on to rule.
Yes, and those vampires receive direct compensation in so many cases from ExxonMobil. And, Lee Raymond got his $400 million out-the-door gift. It's just a story rich with issues and irony. And Tom Jackson is somebody who picked up on that. And he was driving along in his car, at least that's what I saw in this new documentary called Out of Balance, and decided he wanted to look into a little bit more about this climate change thing and the confusion created by some of these so-called spokespeople from enterprises like the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Tom Jackson, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I had a chance to watch your DVD about a week ago. Katrina, our producer, also took a look at it, and I really enjoyed it. I give you a lot of credit for taking your own thoughts and ideas and bringing them to the screen.
Well, thanks very much, and it's always good to hear that. When I first started out, delving into the research and started to do some writing. I actually wasn't sure whether I was going to be a part of the thing or not. I was writing two lines of narration, one for a sort of name narrator and one with me as the sort of everyman.
And Ed Asner turned you down?
Yeah, Asner turned us down, yeah. No, not really. it just seemed to work, having the sort of everyman voice in there, and it was reality. I mean, you know, for a long time, I was just as unsure as anybody else of what was going on with the climate and why and all that kind of stuff.
In a couple of spots, it kind of evoked true stories. The David Byrne film from 10, 15 years ago. You remember that one?
Yeah.
Why am I? This is a rented automobile. I remember him saying. I don't know why I remember that. I don't know why he had to tell me that either.
Yeah.
But it kind of had that quirky feel of a would-be documentary. So, what actually got you going on this, Tom Jackson, and you decided to get out your video camera and your home editing system, or maybe you went professional? I don't really know.
Well, it was there were some professional filmmakers involved, and I've been a full-time video and film producer for 7 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Out of Balance is my fourth production. And but you know the real sort of inspiration it was kind of a twofold thing. I had really had my eye on Exxon for quite a while, going back to the days of the Valdez oil spill. Their whole response or lack thereof to that situation was very upsetting for me at the time, and I've boycotted their gas and oil products ever since then.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was always sort of on the back burner in my mind, even once I started making documentaries full-time, that eventually I was probably going to do an expose of ExxonMobil. But it wasn't really until, 2005 or so when I started to, come around to the realization that that there was this human impact on the climate, and that I had to stop just kind of wondering if something was wrong and realize that something is wrong and try to do something about it. Along comes this story into at least progressive media circles about the Randy Randall memo, where Randy Randall was a ExxonMobil lobbyist
mm-hmm.
who sent a fax to the White House pretty much as soon as the Bush administration got in there. And basically it was a hit list of a bunch of people who were doing good things related to climate change, who ExxonMobil wanted to see, head for the exit, and wanted the Bush administration to help them with that. And the Bush administration complied and even, in some cases replaced those people with the specific individuals that ExxonMobil asked for. But the biggest part of that story was really related to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC,
right,
which is an organization that more people have started to hear about nowadays.
Yeah, they published their fourth recent study on Friday. We talked about that.
That's right. And in Randy Randall's memo, ExxonMobil asked the Bush White House to get rid of Bob Watson, who was the chair of the IPCC at the time, and put their support behind the other sort of candidate that was coming up in a sort of election that they do from time to time, whose name is R.K. Pachauri. And the Bush administration complied, and lo and behold, Mr. Pachauri became the chair. But the interesting twist for me, and the reason why I kind of was inspired by the story, was Pachauri turned around not long after that and started making statements about the human impact on climate that were just as strong, if not stronger, than Bob Watson's.
Hmm.
And so it really backfired on ExxonMobil.
Now, come on, that man was bought and paid for. How the hell could he come out and blurt out the truth?
I don't know how that could happen. It just really it was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that story, I felt, didn't get out into the mainstream very much, and it was important for people to know that had happened. So that's when I really started thinking more seriously about doing an expose of ExxonMobil.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had the guy who wound up being the executive producer, Peter Vandermark, come to my office toward the end of 2005 and ask me what my plans were for 2006. And we started talking about Robert Greenwald's Walmart film, which
mm-hmm.
I thought was very good and important that it was made. And I liked the grassroots sort of distribution and, engaging people in with ideas for action and so on, which I had really been doing with my previous productions as well. I said to him, if I was going to make a film about a company, it would be about ExxonMobil. And he very matter-of-factly said, why is that? and I proceeded to, you know, drag out the laundry list of reasons why I would want to expose some things about ExxonMobil. And when I finished, he said, well, let's do it. And he was willing to back the project in different ways that were very key to making it happen. And so we got rolling and, you know, had our first interview in March 06 with Bill McKibben, which, you know, we came out of that, and he's very inspiring for those who have heard him or read his work.
You bet.
They know what I'm talking about, and, you know, we were bouncing off the walls after that interview, and there was no turning back. So,
Now, Tom, I'm sorry if I come off as a little cynical or jaded here, but did you actually make this film hoping that ExxonMobil would buy it from you and just set you up for life?
Well, you know, they sure do have the money for that. There's no question about it. But you know what? I'll tell you something. They haven't bought a copy directly, but among the first buyers of DVD copies from sales off the website, which is worldoutofbalance.org, was this organization. Well, actually, I'll give you the whole story on this. It was kind of interesting.
Go ahead. Because
I saw this individual's name, and it actually escapes me right now what his name was, but this person from Washington, D.C. ordered two copies within a matter of a couple of days, right after we had put it out on the website. And I thought, well, I don't know who this is, and I actually decided to Google his name, thinking, oh, maybe this is some environmentalist in D.C. who, you know, would be an ally in getting this out there in front of people. And as it turned out, the person was the founder of an organization called the DCI Group, which is a PR firm in Washington, D.C., and when you go to their website, right at the top of the list of their clients is ExxonMobil. And if the name DCI Group rings a bell for anybody, it's probably because they read that report back a few months ago that I think the Wall Street Journal broke, where they talked about DCI Group was the organization which created a parody, a video parody of An Inconvenient Truth and Al Gore, and dropped it out on YouTube, trying to make it look like some 15-year-old had done it. And it was traced back to the DCI Group. And so, you know, that was one of their tactics for trying to, you know, make people just sort of laugh off Al Gore and Inconvenient Truth.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, a couple of weeks back, I broke down after years of resistance and invited Myron Bell to come on the program. He works for the Competitive Enterprise Institute, which has, and your film details it, received millions of dollars from ExxonMobil and others in the oil and extracting industries. And he is not a scientist.
That's right.
And I asked him for his credentials on the issue, and he said, oh, I've been studying this for a long time.
Yeah.
And just as Dr. Lara doesn't have a degree in psychology or psychiatry, Myron Bell is just one of those guys who claims to be an expert.
Yeah.
And so as the interview went along, I was expecting him to offer me some, you know, fairly intellectual arguments. And instead, he wanted to talk about the Gore family's utility bills. And
that's the latest line of attack. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just so transparent. And I let him talk about those bills for a second. And I said, do you know how that undermines your credibility? And he seemed nonplussed by that.
Uh-huh.
And then the other real determining factor, Tom, was I asked him if he'd seen Thank You for Smoking.
Yes.
And he said, no, I've been meaning to. And I said,
you really should.
Well, for the work that you do,
yeah.
it's a textbook that you really should study. We're going to take a break and return in just a moment. Filmmaker Tom Jackson is with us. Go to his website, and that is worldoutofbalance.org. Worldoutofbalance.org. There's more information about the documentary, and you can click to purchase the DVD right there. And coming up, we'll give you the details for our listener in Montana. There's a screening in Helena this evening called Out of Balance. We'll tell you more in a moment.
Here we are on a summer night, staring at the sea. Tell me, is there something wrong? You can talk to me. I can see it in your eyes.
KRXA 540. Progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Seize the day and save money. That's the slogan of Stardate Solar, a company providing you with the highest quality solar power for your Monterey Bay Area home or business at the guaranteed lowest price. And that's the idea behind the Stardate Solar Power Hour. I'm your host, Dale Julin. Every Saturday at high noon, our nationally known cast of energy experts will tell you the latest news about the coming solar economy. And you'll also hear about the politics of solar power as well. The Stardate Solar Power Hour, Saturdays at noon and at StardateSolar.com.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the latest on this Monday. And we're going to start off with a problem in Santa Clara. Santa Cruz, northbound 1, the ramp to M line, the on and off ramp shut down 24 hours a day for road work. We're going to mention that Los Gatos, southbound 17 at Lark Avenue, there's a Caltrans barricade for some reason in the second lane from the left. Santa Cruz, northbound highway, southbound 1, the ramp to Morrissey, the on-ramp there, the on and off-ramp shut down, and 24 hours a day for road work. Going to tell you about a major problem in the Bay Area. It's Alameda County. It's a major injury crash eastbound 84 after Pigeon Pass. Both directions are closed due to this major fatal accident. And the advice there, if you're traveling to that area, is simply to avoid it at this point. ARCO would like to remind drivers of a few things. First, don't forget to buckle up. Second, your dog doesn't qualify for the carpool lane.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with documentary filmmaker Tom Jackson. His newest film about ExxonMobil and its impact on climate change is called Out of Balance. And you can visit the website worldoutofbalance.org to get more information. You can preview some clips and order your very own copy of the DVD. And send one to Lee Raymond over at ExxonMobil. He can't afford to buy one of his own. And, Tom, I understand there is a screening in Helena, Montana tonight at the Myrna Loy Theater.
That's right. 6 o'clock at the Myrna Loy in Helena. We've got one tomorrow in Bozeman, Montana, at Montana State University at a place they call the Procrastinator Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's on to Rapid City, South Dakota, and other parts all around the country.
Well, this gets into the woo-woo zone, but just 20 minutes ago, I received an email from Doug Wendt, who's in Black Eagle, Montana, and he's been listening online. He's an old radio pal of mine from the San Francisco area who is an acknowledged international expert on reggae music. And go to MidnightDread.com to check out Doug Wendt. And I don't know exactly where Black Eagle is, so maybe he can get to Bozeman or Helena to catch the screening of your film. That'd be fun. So, Doug, Doug, if you do show up there, you got to go up to Tom Jackson and give him a critique of the film. Let him know if it was all killer, no filler. That's one of Doug's favorite lines. John from Carmel Valley joins us. You're on the air, John.
I have an answer to sticking it to the oil companies, but before I mention it, I heard in August of 2004 a key discussion on NPR between Bill Allen and Ross Gelbspan, and they both made the key point. They asked Tom Ashbrook, and they were going to ask any other talk show host they got on with, to not invite representatives from pseudoscience or anything connected with the oil companies, because they said there isn't time. You bring these people on and they only help to confuse the public and procrastinate the public's will to act further. And I saw that happen almost immediately. I called around to find out how many newspaper editors had seen that key issue, which came out in September, because that's what the discussion was largely going to announce, that National Geographic was going to have this special issue on global warming. Not one editor had even seen it, let alone read it. Then just more recently, there was a major article like it, maybe at least as comprehensive in its own way in Time in April of last year. My guess is the same thing. If I got a chance to ask who put that together, what kind of influence do you think it had? My guess is they'd probably say not as much as we hoped. And I don't know what would light a fire under the American public or get them to go to the barricades regarding any issue, let alone global warming.
Well, let's get a comment from Tom. I think his film is an attempt to do that.
I'm sure it is. I hope it's not futile.
I hope not, too. And Ross Gelbspan, by the way, is in Out of Balance, and you know, a very, very passionate speaker on the whole subject of not only climate change, but the misinformation campaign that has been waged for so long related to that. And, of course, you know, what he's talking about and what Out of Balance focuses on is the whole very successful attempt by the fossil fuel industry, led by ExxonMobil, going back to the late 90s, to keep the whole issue of climate change and human-induced climate change in the realm of debate and discussion and so on. And, of course, that's what has been the result of having these so-called skeptics on the television, one skeptic and one environmentalist. So there's this appearance to many people who don't know that much about the subject of balance, when, in fact, that is way out of balance. There's just been a tiny percentage of these skeptics well-funded by the fossil fuel industry, while there has been large-scale consensus among climate scientists for years. It was actually Bill McKibben's comment in an article by him that I read online when I was first researching for Out of Balance, where he says by 1995 there was large-scale consensus. And that, to me, was just incredibly shocking. You know, I thought, you know, 10-plus years ago they knew this. Why hasn't anything happened that's really significant in terms of addressing this problem? And ExxonMobil continues to keep this line up. They've gotten to a point where they're no longer completely denying the problem of climate change, because they realize they'll just look like complete dinosaurs if they do that. But they just had an ad in the New York Times a few weeks ago, a full-page ad, with the caption reading, you know, the title reading, "Let's talk about climate change."
Yeah.
And that has actually, unfortunately, been kind of effective, even with some environmentalists that I've talked to, in convincing people that, oh, they're changing their ways and they've opened their minds up to this.
It's just a new example of greenwashing on their part.
Greenwashing, and also let's keep it in the realm of discussion.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Let's not do anything about it.
John,
they've not done anything.
John, hold on. When we after the break here, we'd like to get your address address. We'll send you a copy of the DVD. I've got more to give away in the free speech zone next hour. And I want to direct people to worldoutofbalance.org, where you can get more information and order your own DVD copy of Out of Balance. Tom Jackson, thanks for joining us. Thanks for making the film.
Thank you.
All right. Good to talk with you.
All right.
Good luck in Helena tonight.
Thanks.
I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com. Stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready.
Time once again to fill in the blanks. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yes, fill in the blanks, the feature that highlights news stories we've heard so many times. I'm just going to let all of you fill in the
blanks.
Right, that's how it works. Today's subject, gas prices. It's been revealed once again that gasoline
costs money.
Yes, some experts blame
terrorism.
Some experts blame the higher cost of
drilling.
Talk show hosts blame
Al Gore's heated pool.
But the oil companies explain the real problem is that some of their refineries are down for
maintenance.
Yes, every year at this time, the oil refineries need to be
maintained.
Just when the weather is about to get nice, somebody at the oil company says,
let's maintain the refinery.
And somebody else says,
great idea.
And just like that, gas costs
$3.
Yes, and then, once the refinery is maintained, prices
stay at $3.
Because
of Al Gore's heated pool?
Yeah, that makes as much sense as anything. But luckily, there are
many things you can do.
For example, with gas at $3, experts recommend that you make sure your tires are fully
inflated,
which means that when gas hits $4, America's biggest problem will be
exploding tires.
Yes, of course, in the future, we'll have cars that
plug in
or use
hydrogen
or run
on fried chicken.
But in the meantime, we're turning to
ethanol,
which is made from
corn,
and which holds the promise of dramatically
increasing the price of corn.
Yes, however, the day is coming when if you buy your corn gas in the jumbo size, you'll get
20% off a Coke.
Right. Now this.
Smokey here. When you're a hardcore biker like me, it's nice to know that Geico Motorcycle Insurance covers most kinds of bikes and has money-saving discounts. It's reassuring. It's like I have an imaginary sidecar, and my guardian angel's riding in it. And he's brought plenty of juice boxes and muffins, and he's totally cool with sharing. Yeah, old Smokey's never been too good with metaphors.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-44-CYCLE. Geico Motorcycle Insurance. Let's ride.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
My pappy said, son, you're going to drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
Sing it, Commander.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with 411 gears, you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair.
Yeah, and it gets about 8 miles to the gallon.
Out of San Pedro, late one night, the moon and the stars was shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still.
Let's talk about your ride and how you can reduce your carbon footprint while increasing your disposable income, particularly with gasoline at close to $4 a gallon in many areas within the sound of my voice. Sherry Boschert is the author of the book on plug-in hybrids, and she joins us again on the program today. Hello, Sherry.
Hi, Peter.
How you doing?
Good.
A lot of good things going on in your world.
I'll say it's pretty exciting times.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to dive right into this story that was published by the Mercury News in San Jose today, and they refer to this as V2G,
yeah.
Vehicle to Grid.
This is called vehicle-to-grid technology, the mm-hmm. idea being that when we have plug-in cars on the road, whether they're all electric or plug-in hybrids, the technology already is available to put the electricity from the grid into the car,
right.
But then when you need it during the day, pull it back out to use it for other purposes. So the exciting part is PG&E and others are thinking we can tap more nighttime wind power this way. A lot of wind blows at night. And people want to use more renewable energy, but everyone's asleep. Where are you going to store it?
Mm-hmm.
You store it in the car batteries at night, and then during the daytime, you pull some of that wind energy back out to help meet the peak demand in the late afternoon when everyone's turning on their air conditioners because it's so hot.
So you're suggesting that I could have alternative energy generation, solar or wind power, at my home? And I could, certainly the solar wouldn't work overnight, but I could use that wind power to charge my car. And then when I wanted to run the microwave in the morning, I could run that off the car?
You could potentially. I mean, what you're describing is kind of for people who live off the grid, and that's certainly doable. But really, we're thinking more in bigger terms of, you know, you would just plug into a regular wall socket and get your electricity from the grid like everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
But there would just be this back-and-forth exchange, and we would use our cars as storage places. Now, the article in the Merck News today described how PG&E is pitching it as, you know, you store that energy in your car, and let's say there's an earthquake or the power's down because some lines went down or something,
mm-hmm.
your car could power your house or your building for a few hours until they get the power back up.
Well, you know, here at the secret Peter B. Collins studio, and you're actually one of the few people who's been here, Sherry, I have these UPCs, Universal Power Supplies,
mm-hmm.
and or what they're just glorified batteries. And if the, outside power goes off, my computers and the gizmos that we use to do the show would last for about 8.5 minutes. And at least it would allow me to shut down the computers without crashing them. And we could tell people that we're going to sign off now because the batteries are dying instead of just going click. But I would certainly love to, you know, without having a generator or, you know, tons of batteries on the roof or something, I'd love to have a fallback system. And if a hybrid plug-in vehicle could supply me that kind of backup power, that's a very interesting notion.
Well, the utilities think so, too. I mean, when they, you know, everyone's worried about, you know, blackouts and crashing the grid in the summertime. Is it going to be enough electricity? Well, if we can pull electricity from the plug-in cars, that certainly helps with that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just them. Other companies and organizations like BART, Bay Area Rapid Transit, which is our electric trains that run around the San Francisco Bay Area. BART looked at this and did a scenario because commuters come and they park in their parking lots and take the train into the city. Well, if those were plug-in cars, BART, even if they let them charge for free in their lots, could have an agreement with them to pull some of the electricity out for use during the daytime so they don't go over their contracted limits in what they ordered for electricity. BART estimated that the drivers would save more than $1,000 a year because they would be charging for free and using less gasoline, and BART would save $265,000 a year because they wouldn't be socked with the penalties they get when they go over their contracted limit.
I see.
So it's all exciting, but, you know, step one, we got to get the plug-in cars on the road. Without them, none of this is happening.
Well, Sherry Boschert's with us. And by the way, her website is named after her. I got one, too. Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-Y, Boschert, B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T. And that's where you can get more information about the book, Plug-in Hybrids, and find out more about Sherry and perhaps where she's speaking next. Now, last time we spoke, one of the issues is that the makers of hybrid vehicles do not permit you to maintain your warranty if you convert, say, a Prius into a full plug-in status, which is to say you take manual control over when the gasoline engine is used, not allow the computer on board to make that decision for you.
Right. Now, there's only a couple of dozen of cars, Priuses basically, that have been converted to plug-in hybrids so far, and we think it would only void the part of the warranty for the parts of the car that you monkey with, not the entire warranty.
Mm-hmm.
But no one's had to put that to the test yet. In reality, we need to be pressuring the car companies to sell us plug-in hybrids that they make, not trying to change the cars once they've made them. Ford, General Motors, Toyota, and Nissan all have announced that they're developing plug-in hybrids, but none of them will say when they're going to give us the option to buy them. The research for my book showed that most of them already have these cars. They have the technology. Why they won't give them to us is anyone's guess. GM is the only one that's put a date on it so far, saying that they will sell the plug-in hybrid Chevy Volt that they unveiled this year in 2010. But a lot could change unless we keep up the pressure. I don't know if we'll see these cars.
Well, but one of the powerful parts of your book is the story of Chelsea Sexton, who worked for General Motors with the EV1, their all-electric car. And, of course, there is a documentary. I still haven't gotten around to seeing Who Killed the Electric Car. But you describe the issues in your book in some detail. And if General Motors is true to form, they're not really interested in hybrids and electric vehicles because I guess they think they cut into their core business.
Well, that's true of all the car companies. I mean, if they can just keep maintaining the status quo and selling things the way they do now, they don't have to invest in new technology. They don't have to move to a new marketing plan or anything like that. So they have a big incentive to just try and keep things as they are. But things have changed, you know. 9/11 happened. Everyone realizes we're going to run out of oil, and the countries that control the oil don't really like us. And there's a much increased understanding of global warming and how we have to reduce our carbon emissions. One-third of our carbon emissions in the United States come out of our tailpipe. So we have to deal with cars. And the quickest, easiest, fastest way to clean up our transportation sector is to start plugging in, because the research shows that running on electricity is cheaper and cleaner and domestic.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also electricity can be generated from renewable methods and certainly greener sources. And if we can move both of those forward at the same time, where the source of the electricity gets cleaner and cleaner, producing fewer carbon emissions, and the utilization of that helps us reduce our dependence on foreign oil and helps us reduce the burning, the combustion of those materials that produce more CO2.
That's absolutely right. I mean, a third of our greenhouse gases come out of tailpipes, and another third come out of smokestacks of the power plants. I looked into this very carefully because I got into this from an environmental perspective. And I'm pleased to say that even on the U.S. national grid, which is right now 52% dirty, nasty coal, it's still cleaner to drive on electricity because gasoline's just so darn dirty. But as you said, over time, we're going to be putting in more solar, more wind, more geothermal, and reducing our carbon emissions. The electrical grid is going to get cleaner. Gasoline's just going to get dirtier as we turn to more desperate sources of it and start squeezing the tar sands of Canada or other desperate sources.
Now, when I met you when the book first came out, Sherry Boschert, you described to me, and I can't remember the brand, but you have a vehicle that you converted to full. It's still got a gas engine, but it runs mostly on your electric. Is that right?
Well, actually, no. I'm lucky to have one of the 1,000 or so remaining all-electric cars that were made by the major car companies when the state required them to start producing zero-emission vehicles.
Isn't that against the law, and aren't you risking a stint at Gitmo?
If Dick Cheney finds out about it, maybe. No, I have a Toyota RAV4 EV.
That's right, a RAV4.
Electric car. I'm looking forward to plug-in hybrids coming on the scene, because even though this car meets my needs, it goes 125 miles before I need to plug it in. Some people do need to drive further or have one all-purpose car in case they need to go visit Grandma in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
And a plug-in hybrid would let them drive on electricity in local driving, but then they'd have the gas tank as a backup to drive across country if they need to.
Yeah. Now, tell me about your RAV4. How old is it, and how is it holding up? And do you have confidence in it, for a 100-mile trip?
Oh, I totally do. In fact, I can easily have a 200-mile day, because if I drive, say, from San Francisco down to Santa Cruz, which is about 100 miles, I can park and charge for free in their public garage, and by the time I'm done doing whatever I need to do, I have enough juice to get home again.
Mm-hmm.
The car I now have, it's a 2002. I now have about 58,000 miles on it. There are cars out there, the same kind of car, the RAV4 EVs, that have gone well over 100,000 miles. The utility, Southern California Edison, has a whole fleet of them. The nickel metal hydride batteries in these cars that were in all of the modern electric cars are lasting the lifetime of the cars. But when you hear the car companies talk in the news media about why they can't give us plug-in cars right now, they say, well, the batteries aren't good enough yet. The batteries aren't ready. We need another $500 million of funding from the government to perfect the batteries. Well, what they're talking about are lithium-ion batteries, the kind that power laptop computers, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Those are a lot newer, and they're just not, they haven't been around long enough for the car companies to feel comfortable offering an extended warranty on them.
Mm-hmm.
But they could be using nickel metal hydride. Heck, they could do it with lead acid if they wanted to. It's just, they don't want to, I think. So I encourage people to go to pluginamerica.org. The phone numbers for the car companies are there, and we've been having people call them and tell them they're not going to buy a new car until it has a plug on it. Our sources inside the companies tell us that this really is making a difference.
Pluginamerica.org.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And, Sherry, your RAV4, I mean, I was just thinking you've got, almost 60,000 miles on it, you said?
Mm-hmm.
And you probably require less maintenance because you don't have a carburetor.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of the things that people have to take their cars in for service.
No oil changes. There's no oil, no muffler, no catalytic converter, no carburetor.
No radiator.
No radiator.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think we've taken it in maybe once or twice to rotate the tires or something.
Uh-huh.
Electric vehicles are much simpler than internal combustion engine vehicles or hybrids. An electric motor can last a million miles before failing. So people theorize this is one reason why the car companies don't want to shift towards electric vehicles, because the majority of their profits comes not from sales, but from parts and servicing.
That's a very good point. Sherry Boschert is with us. Her book is Plug-in Hybrids, The Cars That Will Recharge America. And it's out. You can order it at her website. That's Sherry Boschert, Boschert.com. And I read it, and I think it's a great book, and it's a very exciting area that is developing as we speak. Now, Sherry, I want to give you an opportunity here. We got a break to take here in a minute or less. And I just think you're entitled to gloat a little bit. Because last week, according to Lundberg, the price of gasoline at the pump went up 18 cents just last week.
Wow.
That's the national average. Now, here in California, we've already been paying through the nose, so you may not have had a spike quite as high. But how does it feel when you drive by a gas station that is advertising premium unleaded for close to $4 a gallon?
Well, you know, I need to check in with you more often, Peter, because I don't notice anymore. I haven't been to a gas station in 5 years in my car.
Really? Not even to use the restroom?
Well, once I had to go on the road to travel, and I did have to rent a car, so I do see it occasionally.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, mostly I feel for people who are going to be socked in the wallet by this. It just seems so unnecessary. We had thousands of electric cars on the road. The movie that you mentioned, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Mm-hmm.
People can rent that, or they can buy it from pluginamerica.org, as well as my book. But that tells the whole story of how we had these cars, because the state required the car companies to start making cleaner cars. And then the companies fought it and sued, and in 2003 they watered down the regulations, and that allowed the car companies to cancel all their electric car programs and take back the cars because they were only leased. And they began crushing them, even though we were begging to buy them.
Yeah.
So we had it once. We can have it again, and people wouldn't have to pay so much at the gas station.
Well, Sherry, you're bright and articulate, but apparently you just don't know how to gloat. I'll just leave it at that.
I'll work on it.
We're going to take a break and return. If you have a question or comment, you can call us from your gas guzzler right now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Listening to the new KRXA 540.
It's time to start talking about the 2008 presidential elections. Here, Monday nights between 10 and 11 p.m. with your host, me, Todd Hurlbert, Alan Vasquez, and our show, The Week in Politics. We will talk about and talk with the Democratic and Republican candidates for the presidential election. Please join us in our effort to educate our audience about the issues. See you there.
After years of international use, the American medical profession is finally realizing the great value of essential oils. That's why the FDA has reclassified them as new OTC drugs. You need to protect your right to use this sacred medicine. Native Health's sacred copal is that protection. Essential oils delivered from a traditional Native American basis. Call 1-866-972-3461 and ask for information on protecting your sacred right to heal.
Every night, Jack Thomas camps out on a cold, lonely street corner. Tonight, some people almost brought him something to eat. Someone almost drove him to a shelter. Another almost brought him a warm blanket. And Jack Thomas, well, he almost made it through the night. Sometimes instead of giving, we almost give. But that's the same as not giving at all. Don't almost give. Give. Visit don'talmostgive.org. A message from the Ad Council.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. And I'll let you know that we are working on a, CHP telling us that there is a problem. It's still in Santa Cruz. It was Santa Clara, they're switching up on us. So southbound 17 to Lark Avenue, it's a still report of a barricade blocking the second lane from the left. Don't know what the barricade is doing there, but we're going to report it for you folks anyways. Also want to mention Campbell San Tomas Expressway at West Campbell Avenue, a two-vehicle crash being reported there. Other than that, no major stalls or accidents to report in the Monterey, Salinas, or Santa Cruz area at this point. We are going to let you know this report is brought to you by the folks at ARCO. ARCO would like you to remind drivers that they're of just a few things. First, don't forget to buckle up. Second, your dog doesn't qualify for the carpool lane. And third, never pay too much for gas.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Yeah, we like the radio part.
Riding along in my automobile, I was anxious to tell her the way I feel.
We continue now with Sherry Boschert. She's written the book about plug-in hybrids, and it's called Plug-in Hybrids, the cars that will recharge America, and it's out in soft cover. You can order it at her website, and that is Sherry Boschert, B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T. That's SherryBoschert.com. And, Sherry, I wanted to see if you could give me a little help. I was just explaining to our producer, Katrina, that my stepson is graduating and picking up a degree in electrical engineering in just a couple of months. And he said what he really wants as a graduation present is an electric car. And I don't know if they're still available. Can I go out and actually buy a RAV4 EV like yours, or do you want to sell me yours?
No, or keep in mind.
Yeah.
You can't get new ones from the major car companies anymore. There are some used RAV4 EVs that pop up occasionally, but because everyone wants them, they're selling for double the original price.
Oh.
There are some smaller companies that have stepped into the breach. We're not waiting around for the big automakers. And they are starting to offer some newer electric vehicles. The initial ones are pretty expensive. I mean, you might have heard of Tesla Motors, which is a Silicon Valley startup. And they're selling a sports car,
mm-hmm.
the Tesla Roadster, that goes from 0 to 60 in 4 seconds flat. Governor Schwarzenegger bought one. But they cost $100,000. Now, that's fine. They sold 300 of them. That's $30 million if you do the math. But they've already announced that their second-generation electric vehicle, I think it's called the White Star, will be a four-person family sedan for about $40,000 or $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they recently signed a deal to build a manufacturing plant for that car in Albuquerque. So that'll be coming in a year or two. The Think company, a Norwegian company that used to be owned by Ford,
mm-hmm.
is reviving the little Think City car in 2008. There's a Southern California company called AC Propulsion that's doing a converted Toyota Scion that they call the E-Box.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're selling that for about $55,000. So because these are small companies and they don't have the big economy of scale of mass producing like the large companies,
right.
they're more expensive. But there are some options out there. And smaller ones like the one-person NMG, no more gas car, out of a company called Myers Motors in Ohio. That's a nice little commute vehicle, and I think it's about, you know, $17,000 or something, but it's a one-person car.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing ideal yet, but some companies are stepping forward until we can get the big guys to give us them.
So Myers Motors in Ohio, a one-person car.
Mm-hmm, the NMG.
NMG. All right. Well, I'll do some shopping.
Okay.
See what I can come up with. And I just want to confess to you, I don't know exactly why, but because you're so pure, I think I explained to you when you were here last fall that I am a lucky guy and I get to test drive new vehicles from the major manufacturers.
Mm.
And today they delivered to me an H3 Hummer. And I have never driven a Hummer before. And I approach it with some trepidation because I'm curious about the mechanics and, you know, how it all works and all that. But the image, just, it ain't me.
Yeah.
So I brought in my full-face Richard Nixon mask, and I think when I get behind the wheel of the Hummer, I'm going to have to wear that at all times.
Well, flash that peace sign while you do.
I am not a crook, just a gas guzzler.
Well, and you know, part of the beauty of plug-in hybrids is that they don't have to be little cars like the Prius. Professor Andrew Frank at the University of California, Davis, has been making plug-in hybrids out of large SUVs for a decade now. And PG&E, the company that was in that news article today about the vehicle-to-grid technology,
right.
they're testing a plug-in hybrid version of what they call their trouble truck. You know, those big trucks with the cherry pickers that lift the worker up to
oh,
the
yeah.
lines.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are figuring that a plug-in hybrid version of that would be cleaner. It can be running on electricity so the worker doesn't have to breathe the diesel fumes, and quieter. They don't have to wake up people at 3 a.m. when they're working on the power lines.
Right.
But also, if the power's down,
yeah.
a truck like that could power three or four homes for
right.
2 hours.
That's a very interesting idea. Now, Sherry Beauchat, I understand that Plug-in America has sent a copy of your book and a DVD of Who Killed the Electric Car to every member of Congress and every governor in the union?
That's right. We just did this last week. We're part of a coalition called Set America Free, which is one of these interesting coalitions that have formed around plug-in hybrids where they bring together the left and the right on the political spectrum, and we have delivered these to Congress and urged them to support what's called the DRIVE Act. It's the Dependence Reduction Through Innovation in Vehicles and Energy, DRIVE Act, because that's one of a number of pieces of legislation that will help us move forward in getting these plug-in cars on the road and looking at other alternative fuels as well.
Well, you know, John Kerry and his wife, Teresa Hines Kerry, are on the road promoting their new book about global warming. And when asked last week about their personal virtue, Kerry said, well, we do have some hybrids. But, you know, maybe if you could develop a car that runs on ketchup. It would be the win-win in the Heinz Kerry family.
That's right. That's right. Hey, it worked for Reagan. Ketchup is a vegetable. Let's make it fuel.
Sherry, thanks for joining us, and best wishes with the book.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Sherry Boschert, B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T. Go to her website, named after her, sherryboschert.com, and check out Plug-in Hybrids, the book subtitled The Cars That Will Recharge America. And get me one of those Tesla cars. I want to go 0 to 60 in 4 seconds electrically. The Free Speech Zone is next. Your calls and comments welcome any subject, any viewpoint from anywhere. 888-5-PETER-B.
So it means that our investigation turned up nothing.
Because somebody testified by him before a grand jury doesn't mean he's involved.
And it's flat out absurd. Bush was begging that governor on the Sunday before the hurricane hit to get people out of there and declare an emergency.
It's all crazy propaganda. The Joseph Goebbels Network.
Bush was on the phone with her. They were thinking about sending the military in because the state and local people weren't acting fast enough.
It is certain that some self-possessed judge somewhere will soon rule that three men are three women can rule.
Yet Iraqis are united in a broad and deep conviction. 12 government ministries are currently under the direct control of Iraqis.
I don't think that's too high a standard.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. Probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you've got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in. You've got to catapult the propaganda.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I did a bad thing.
Don Imus continues to apologize, but he is being punished for his crude comment last week about the Rutgers women's basketball team. CBS Radio just announced that Imus' syndicated show will be suspended for 2 weeks starting next Monday, and MSNBC, which simulcasts the show on cable TV, has also imposed a two-week suspension. Imus was in the lion's den today when he went on Al Sharpton's radio show. He said the Rutgers team didn't deserve such treatment after winning the NCAA women's basketball tournament.
And now they have some old cracker on the radio calling them some sort of name, and they have to deal with that. And so I have a term
cracker you used on yourself. I didn't call you
yes,
that.
I know
I'm sure
that.
Some of your supporters will be on TV today saying I called you that.
No.
And I would appreciate if you'd respect your own race on my show.
Imus said he was trying to be funny when he commented about the Rutgers women, but went way too far. This was a day of patriotic pride in Iran. A crowd celebrated the announcement that President Ahmadinejad had said that the Natanz uranium enrichment facility has 3,000 centrifuges working. It's in direct defiance of the U.N. Security Council, and according to State Department spokesman Sean McCormick, it's a major miscalculation.
It's another missed opportunity from the Iranians.
They deny the U.S. charge that they're intent on building nuclear weapons. Immigration is one area where President Bush and the Democrat-controlled Congress might find common ground. The president pushed his agenda today in Yuma, Arizona. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller went along.
After touring a section of the U.S.-Mexico border and declaring that progress is being made to stop illegal crossings, President Bush again made the case for his plan to establish a guest worker program for those here illegally.
It is impractical to take the position that, oh, we'll just find the 11 million or 12 million people and send them home. It's just an impractical position. It's not going to work.
Mr. Bush passionately denied that his program amounts to amnesty, though many Republicans in Congress see it that way and remain opposed to his immigration plan. Mark Noller, CBS News, Yuma, Arizona.
It's so cold in the Midwest that the Cleveland Indians have moved their series with the Los Angeles Angels to Milwaukee, where Miller Park has a retractable roof. The unseasonable weather is taking a toll on crops in the South. Reporter Pete Combs has that story.
With temperatures that dipped into the low 20s over the weekend, Georgia's trademark peach crop may be among those that suffer.
We know peaches and apples have been pretty heavily affected.
Agriculture Commissioner Tommy Irvin says that's just the beginning.
Southern part of our state, the blueberries have been hurt in some areas pretty substantially.
Right now, agriculture expert Walter Reeve says it's a waiting game.
I think we have to wait 2 or 3, maybe even 4 weeks before we really know what's been damaged.
But if the damage is bad, expect to pay a little more for fruit and vegetables at the supermarket. Pete Combs, CBS News, Atlanta.
The Dow gained 9 points today, the Nasdaq down 2. This is CBS News.
Get the good
good stuff.
Here's some to think about. Engines with over 75,000 miles on them can burn oil, shortening their life. Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil has added ingredients to condition seals that can help extend the life of your engine. Right now at Napa Auto Parts, you can get Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil for only $2.99 per quart. And check out our great prices on other Castrol motor oils. Price does not include state and local taxes or recycling fees. Napa, get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff.
Welcome to Lardo's.
Yeah, can I get an order of spare tires?
Yeah, what size? Plump, chubby, or incredibly huge?
How about incredibly huge?
You want love handles with that?
Oh, yeah.
What are you really getting in your combo meal? The new Subway Fresh Fit Meals fit into the American Heart Association's approach to a healthy lifestyle. Tasty, low-fat subs, better-for-you sides, and a drink. Subway, eat fresh.
Fat content refers to regular 6-inch sub on white or wheat bread without condiments that contain fat. See store for additional nutritional information, including sodium content. Products made by Subway is a registered trademark of Doctors Associates, Inc.
The man who helped develop Microsoft Word parted with an estimated $25 million, a fraction of his fortune, to join two Russian cosmonauts on a trip to the International Space Station. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports they arrived today.
Software billionaire Charles Simonyi says he rode a lot during his two-day trip to the International Space Station.
I wrote down practically every moment, every interesting moment of the flight.
He was welcomed aboard, not just by the space station crew, but by Mission Control space officials and even by his friend Martha Stewart, who prepared a gourmet meal for him to take with him.
You're out of this world.
Martha, it's really an honor to be here at this outpost.
Simonyi's visit will last about 12 days. Peter King, CBS News.
Lisa Perry says she's been schlepping her stuff around the country more than 20 years and just doesn't want it anymore. With the exception of her pets, photo albums, and some clothing, she's put all her belongings on eBay, including snowshoes, a seashell collection, and a Village People album. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
You've got Monday behind you. Tuesday's done, oh no worries. Wednesday's perfect to unwind. Let's go out back tonight.
Let go this Wednesday with Outback's new No Worries Wednesday Mixed Grill. Tender chicken, jumbo shrimp, and your choice of a juicy sirloin or New Zealand lamb chops.
Let's go out back tonight.
The new No Worries Wednesday Mixed Grill.
Start your weekend 2 days early.
Wednesday, the new Saturday.
Hi, Dave. It's Sarah. Hey, first thing tomorrow morning, a steel shelf on 12 is going to give way. You know, the one that stores all the toner. Yeah. Anyway, we'll give you a call when it breaks. Thanks.
In your job, you don't get warnings. So Grainger's just added a massive amount of shelving and storage products to help get you through whatever the day brings. We're adding products and removing problems. From shelves, bins, and cabinets to packaging, we have what you need to store just about anything. Call or visit your local branch or go online to Grainger.com. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from San Francisco, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Lively, informative, compelling, progressive talk radio. And it's interactive, too, which is a fancy way of saying he takes your phone calls. Toll free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. Fasten your seatbelt and let's take a ride in Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone. Your calls and comments are welcome. You know the rules? We take calls on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. And today, for first-time callers, I've got a free copy of the DVD, Out of Balance, about ExxonMobil's impact on the climate change discussion. We talked with its producer-director, Tom Jackson, last hour. So grab a line and call me. We pay for the call. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you want to talk about cars, gasoline or electric, bring it on.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel. There's a voice in my head that drives my heel. It's my baby calling, and I need you here. Shifting gear. When she is lonely and the longing gets too much, she feels the cable coming in from above. Don't need to fight at all. We've got a thing about the whole grid I love. We've got a wave
In fact, I do love radar. I like the new radar cruise control on certain automobiles. You get on the highway, you set your speed, and then if a truck or somebody else gets in the lane in front of you and is going slower, your car's radar reads that and slows you down so you don't hit him. I think that's really cool. Lots to talk about here, and we struck a nerve in the first half hour of our program today when Paul Waldman joined us from Media Matters for America. We talked about the recent comments that Don Imus made on his radio show, and it's gotten him in a lot of hot water. He went on Al Sharpton's radio show to apologize for his comments about Rutgers female basketball players. And they were racist in nature. He referred to them as hoes and then nappy-headed hoes. And as a result, we just got word in the last 10 minutes that MSNBC, which carries a television simulcast of the Imus radio program, has suspended him for 2 weeks. Now, we don't know if CBS Radio, which employs him and syndicates his program, is going to take additional action. But NBC, for its part, has decided that they want to make a public step here, and they are going to suspend the television simulcast, the cable simulcast, for 2 weeks. Don't know if that's effective tomorrow or exactly what. But it was interesting, as we discussed this, Billy Sunshine, my friend and the host of a weekend program on KRXA in Monterey, called in to say, you know, I don't censor myself. I say all kinds of things, and occasionally they might be offensive. And he supports Imus, saying that he is the kind of humorist who skewers all kinds of people, and that African Americans should not take special umbrage at it. I think that Imus has crossed a line here that doesn't quite fit into that excuse or rationalization that, you know, he offends all kinds of people and therefore no one should ever be offended. I don't particularly buy that. And I mentioned last hour when Tom Jackson was on the show that I got an email from Montana. And it's from Doug Wendt, who used to be the premier disc jockey in the Bay Area with reggae music. And he's back in his home state there in Big Sky Country. And he writes, regarding Imus, Stern, Alex Bennett, and the rest of the put-down specialists who've been spreading their vile, demeaning, demeaning our trade, and stealing ratings by misbehavior with implicit endorsement from management for decades, the system is a fraud. Well, that's very well put, Doug, because when we back up and ask ourselves, well, why does Don Imus operate the way he does? I described him as an over-the-hill shock jock who really is desperately trying to catch up with Howard Stern and Opie and Anthony and this other younger generation of shock radio artists. And the bottom line is that management likes that kind of radio. The reason is that it scores well in the ratings. Howard Stern, for example, scored very well when he was on mostly FM stations around the country before he went to satellite radio. And part of the reason is that when you are notorious, when you establish visibility for negative reasons, more people notice you, more people remember you, and the funky system that's used for radio ratings rewards people who are notorious as opposed to those who are good communicators, thoughtful individuals, and maybe even funny without crossing the line into racial or heavy sexual humor. So I'd like to hear your thoughts about this. The suspension here is a very recent development, just announced in the last half hour or so. And so if you think this is warranted, let me know your thoughts. If you think that, as one caller, I think from Brookings, Oregon, mentioned a couple of hours ago, he said, look, I don't want Al Sharpton being the arbiter of what can be broadcast. And I also don't want Sean Hannity, or I don't remember who else he mentioned, maybe Rush Limbaugh, to be in a similar position. And I do support unfettered freedom of speech. I also believe that, in particular, radio broadcasters have an obligation not to be irresponsible and broadcast hateful comments or the programs of people who are clearly sick and twisted. And I really feel uncomfortable in this era, and you may understand, because I think that when a broadcaster makes a decision to put a show like Michael Savage on the air, they're using the same thought process that a pornographer does. We haven't had two girls kissing on the cover in a few months. That really sells well. Why don't we put that on? Well, I think that the management that sits back and listens to Michael Savage and some of his other imitators. And here's the intentionally hateful remarks that are consistently broadcast. And, you know, here Imus has crossed the line here and there. But by comparison to Michael Savage, he's pretty tame. My bottom line is, Michael Savage has the First Amendment right to say the stuff he says. Radio stations are within their rights to broadcast his program up to a point. And I think he crosses that point, that line, on a regular basis, and they know it, and they make money from it. And that, I think, is unhealthy, potentially immoral, but I don't know how to make it illegal. I don't know how to use government or laws or the FCC to enforce what really becomes so subjective and a matter of taste. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that. You can talk about Don Imus and his suspension. You can talk about the other issues we discussed. We spent half an hour talking about Pakistan. We talked about ExxonMobil and their efforts to muddy the waters in terms of climate change, global warming. And we talked about hybrid cars, too. So anything goes here, you're welcome to call. And lines are open, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Nick in Santa Cruz, welcome. You're on the air. Hello, Nick. Is it Doug?
Hey, Peter.
Oh, this is Doug Wynn. I'm sorry.
How you doing?
I was confused by my screen. It said you were going to be Nick in Santa Cruz. Great to talk to you, Doug. I was thrilled to get your email.
Hey, it's been wonderful to talk to you and hear some positivity on the radio, and good to hear that you got some listeners to support it.
Well, we're doing what we can.
Well, Imus has been suspended by CBS, CNN has been reporting. So.
Oh, the radio side suspended him, too?
And for 2 weeks also.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I appreciate the comment you made in the email. You want to expand about that a little bit?
Well, like I referred to, I mean, this stuff has been going on for over 30 years, where radio has been wallowing in the lowest common denominator and producing these millionaires who have made a fortune off of, like you were just saying, at best, immoral speech.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a free speech issue or not is not really important. What's important is that radio has become a hiding place, and it's not very, very hidden, of course, where these guys have flourished. They've drowned out a lot of really interesting music and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are, you know, 40 years from the hopes and dreams of the 60s, and we're only now beginning to see a reaction to that reaction. I don't know if you've seen the documentary, The U.S. versus John Lennon.
I haven't yet, no.
You must go see that. I mean, it really brings back the memories of what happened to John. Basically, the crux of the film is when, you know, in the early 70s, he tried to keep the spirit going almost
mm-hmm.
single-handedly.
Mm-hmm.
You may remember that Camel Radio went on the air in San Francisco in, I think, 72 or 3, 74?
No, it was later than that. It was about 77 or 78.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I had a really good friend there, Cody Ryan. We did the original reggae show called Reggae Explosion on KTIM back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think David T. was one of the guys that moved to Camel also.
Yeah, I remember him.
And within a matter of months, management showed up and took all the black music out of the library. Motown, Jimi Hendrix. With the excuse that Joe Sixpack over in Hayward didn't want to hear this crap.
Yeah. I'll tell you a quick story. In about 1988, I did a shtick, a bit, on the morning show. No, it must have been the 84 election, 84. And I had a guy who did dead-on impersonations of both Reagan and Mondale. And we staged this little mini-debate. It was about 3 minutes long. And then I chose to break the format of the white rock station where I worked, owned by CBS, by the way, and I played Ball of Confusion by the Temptations because I thought the message, you know, Ball of Confusion, vote for me, I'll set you free, really fit this little mock debate that we had just broadcast. And I almost got fired over that, Doug. There was a consultant who, unbeknownst to me, was monitoring the show that day, and he wrote 5 pages of blistering comments about why the Temptations should never be played on the CBS-owned rocker in San Francisco.
No, it is amazing. I mean, if you really penetrate the industry, it's not so much that management is racist as it is the advertising buyers who really control radio. And even though I believe in my heart of hearts, after Martin Luther King's speech about content of the character, that was the way to go, and I kind of devoted my life to it, it wasn't until the Republican Revolution of 1992 that I began to understand that multiculturalism was the enemy.
Yeah. Hey, Doug, I got to take a break. You know how it works. Can you hold on?
Sure.
I want to talk with you a little more.
All right, that'd be great.
You got 4 minutes to think about this. I want to think about what we do about the Michael Savage problem without censorship, okay?
All right.
All right. Get right back to me in 4 minutes. We'll continue and take more of your calls to 888-5-PETER-B. We're talking with Doug Wendt, a great radio guy who is out in Montana now. And you can visit his website, midnightdread.com. We'll continue in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B. Check in with me here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli, with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Well, it is time once again for your local traffic report. And really, folks, not a whole lot going on. I'm just going to be honest with you. Except Except I say in Gilroy, northbound 101 after Monterey Street. Yeah, believe it or not, it's the dreaded tire iron that is in the... It's actually in a lane of traffic. Don't know where what lane it is, but that's the report that we're getting from CHP at this point. Well, let's take a look at a little bit of a Salinas road construction. Highway 183 southbound between Cassatini and 101 road construction. The right lane shut down from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's on a daily basis. Bradley, it looks like 101 both directions between Jolan Road and Los Lobos. It's shut down for various lanes from 8 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. So that is still effective. This report brought to you by Blue Blocker Sunglasses.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Lines are open in the free speech zone at 888-5-PETER-B.
I was walking down the street, concentrating on truck and right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other.
I don't like reggae.
I say I don't like reggae.
I'm Peter B. Collins. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone, 888-5, Peter B. And for first-time callers today, we've got a free DVD of Tom Jackson's new documentary, Out of Balance. And Doug Wendt's going to get one because this is his first time calling into the Peter B. Collins Show. He's out in Montana. You got to visit his website, midnightdread.com. And, Doug, I'm just looking at the homepage here, Deep Word Dub Bonus Singles. And how does it involve Jerry Spence? Is that the lawyer from Wyoming?
Yeah, you know, the Unabomber was discovered up here a few miles from where I live.
And oh, okay.
I kind of took the old Bob Dylan song, Yay Have You in a Bottle of Bread, and turned it into Yay Have You in a Bottle of Dread, and used Jerry Spence in some of the breaks. Talked on MSNBC, of all places, about the freedom of the Unabomber to write those crazy ideas he had in the papers he wrote.
I hit it off. Jerry Spence came through on a book tour about, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, and I really like that guy. And if I ever get accused of a major crime, I want him and Tony Serra to defend me.
But let me finish my thought about that that movie, that John Lennon, the U.S. versus John Lennon.
Sure, go ahead, Doug.
And then I wanted to bring up Bob Marley as another case in point, since you played some reggae. Basically, the crux of the film revolves around John Lennon wrote Give Peace a Chance, which became a huge anthem, followed by Power to the People, which became another anthem of sorts. And then he wrote this song about an obscure man, John Sinclair from Detroit, who was busted for giving a federal agent a couple of joints and was given a huge long sentence back in 1969 and had languished in prison unrecognized for actually years. And John Lennon wrote this song about him, and it was released on a Friday. And John Sinclair was released from prison the following Monday.
Wow.
I don't think you remember that.
But I don't, no.
It's phenomenal. At that point, J. Edgar Hoover went ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
And they went after John big time. And as I'm well aware from personal experience in the 60s, I mean, the FBI undermined, infiltrated, and destroyed all kinds of progressive organizations which were ready to get this country on the path toward environmental sustainability and all the rest of it.
Yeah, it was called COINTELPRO. I remember that vividly.
Yeah, so poor John. I mean, basically his last weekend in L.A. was provoked by the chilling effect of his success with the John Sinclair song.
Mm-hmm. Now, just about a minute before our next break here, Doug, did you do your homework? What do you think we can do to rein in the Michael Savages in the broadcast world without censorship?
Well, what we've got to do is we've got to develop thousands of local public radio stations, fund them from the government, make taxpayers pay for them, and we need some kind of antidote out there against this commercialism run amok where all we're getting pretty much is hate radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, low-power FM has the promise of that. Of course, the commercial broadcasters and NPR weighed in at the FCC to block the rollout of more low-power FM licenses around the country.
More the reason to do it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Doug, I'm really thrilled to hear from you. Glad you're listening online in Montana. Can you be our vice president for marketing in all of Montana?
Yeah, I'll get you going.
All right, I appreciate that.
Okay.
Good to talk to you.
All right, take care.
Well, that was a blast from my past. We're going to take a quick break and return. Got three callers on the line. You could join them too. 888-5 Peter B. Oh, and Doug Wendt, hold on. We're going to mail you a DVD, okay? We've got free DVDs for first-time callers in the Free Speech Zone this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey and the Old Granary Building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We're taking your calls in the free speech zone here on the Peter B. Collins Show. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. 888-573-8372. And up next, we go to Sharon in Crescent City, California. Hi, Sharon. Thanks for your call today.
Peter B. Love your show, Peter B.
Well, thank you. Can we send you a DVD? Because
yes,
I believe,
first time caller.
I believe you're a virgin.
Oh, yes, I, well, not technically.
Sharon, what's on your mind
well,
today?
Well, anyway, I want to talk about Donna Imus. What he said was racist and sexist. I mean, calling these female college athletes nappy-haired hoes and jigaboos, that's horrible. I mean, whether you like women's basketball or not, you have to admit that making it to the Final Four is an accomplishment. You know, it's a big deal for these young players.
Yeah.
And these young ladies, you know, they just play their hearts out. And if we're some idiots, you know, to, you know, call them, you know, nappy-haired hoes, it's just, it's pathetic.
So what's the right response? We now know he's been suspended by both the radio side and the TV side
well,
for 2 weeks.
Well, you know, I think he should be fired, but, you know, I don't see that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pathetic.
Yeah. And does it offend you directly, or how would you describe that, Sharon?
Well, it's an insult to these players. These are young ladies or college athletes. You know, they conducted themselves like college athletes on the court. You know, they play their hearts out, and some idiot calling them nappy-haired hoes, that's disgusting.
Yeah. And, of course, there is no suggestion that there was any sex involved or even, you know, paid sex in the women's basketball finals.
Yeah, it's
But, you know, I I'm not trying to rationalize what Imus did. I just feel that he is trying too hard to operate in a young person's world. And he's trying to be a senior citizen who's hip with hip-hop. And give it a rest, Don.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, he's a funny guy, and he's a smart guy. And he's also a very competent radio person. I have some albums in my garage that he recorded in the 1960s, some of the funniest stuff that was on radio at that time. But he needs to recognize that he cannot simply update his act by adopting some of the styles and conversation of people who are younger and who in some ways can pull it off. Not that I'm saying anybody should, you know, refer to the basketball players that way. I'm just saying that he's operating out of his own comfort zone.
It wasn't appropriate.
Yeah. Well, Sharon, thanks for your call. Now, hold on, and we'll set you up with a DVD, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Great. And if you just tuned in, we have free DVDs for first-time callers today. They are copies of the new documentary, Out of Balance, produced by Tom Jackson, who was on our program about an hour ago. And next, we go to Dave in Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. We got some upcoming events here, any number of them, but I'd like to mention only a couple. But before that, I didn't hear anything of this being mentioned by you, and that was that on the Sunday morning talk shows, I know Senator Levin for one, the only good thing about this national funding of the war and the expansion of it and everything is that it somehow alluded to withdrawing the troops, bringing them back in a year and a half. And, of course, Bush has been threatening to impeach that, so Senator Levin saying, well, as a compromise, perhaps we could remove that all reference to bringing the troops back. And I thought, oh, no, my God, if they did that, you know, it's so weak already in its way. A totally criminal war, totally based on lies, all about profits for big corporations, and they want to allow it to continue forever now. I hope I heard that wrong. I got it secondhand. But.
Well, you know what? I took yesterday off because it was Easter, and I was preparing for some family members to come over for dinner, so I did not catch any of the Sunday talk shows. I read a summary online that Senator Levin has said that while he expects to keep pressing the president to end the war, that the Democrats will not cut off funding, and I believe he used the phrase for the troops, which again is the frame and language of the White House, which Democrats should not be parroting. So I'm disappointed by what I know about that, but I need to do a little work before I comment fully on it.
Yeah, me too. Well, anyway, we're keeping the heat on our local congressman here, and we're having a town hall meeting that's coming up on April 23rd, Monday, 6 p.m. And we don't expect that he's going to make it there, and if he does, then we'll have somebody sitting in this place and asking, we will be receiving some very pointed questions, and there will be coverage on it. And on April 28th, this is going to be all over the place, but here it'll be at our courthouse, and it's the group? After Downing Street is coordinating this impeachment now.
Okay.
Impeaching Bush and Cheney, and so
that's on the 28th. That's a Saturday.
That is. And it's going to be big time in Washington, but other cities that can't go to Washington will be having their own, and ours will be at our courthouse.
Okay.
Impeachment now. It's also going to deal a bit with global warming, but so bad, so much is so wrong.
Yeah, a lot of work to do. All right, Dave, I got an email from you, too. I'll check that out after the show.
Yes, right.
Okay, thanks for calling in today. 888-5-PETER-B, and we've got a free DVD for first-time callers. This man is not a first-timer on the Peter B. Collins Show. Robert Dreyfus is a journalist, reporter, author, and you can visit his website, robertdreyfus.com, to see his latest publishings. Hello, Bob. How are you today?
I am really good. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I understand that you got to attend a talk or a seminar that featured, I'm looking for his first name here, Ali Alawi, who is a professor at Oxford, or a former academic there at Oxford University. And he has published a book called The Occupation of Iraq. And I just read a news story on it yesterday, in fact. Tell us about this.
Well, he's more than a professor. He was the Minister of Defense and Minister of Finance in two governments after the invasion of Iraq. And he's currently a senior advisor to the Prime Minister Maliki of Iraq. So he's still heavily engaged in current Iraqi politics.
Well, that's good to know. I wasn't aware of that.
But he's written a startling book called The Occupation of Iraq, which I have not read all of the book. I've read part of it, but I heard his talk today, and I spoke with him for a little while afterwards. And it's a frontal indictment of the ignorance and stupidity and blundering and incompetence of the Bush administration in invading Iraq in the first place, and then compounding its error by messing up pretty much every aspect of the occupation. And he himself is a moderate, educated, non-sectarian Shia. He's kind of on the mold of some of the Iraqi exiles, like Iyad Alawi, who is a cousin of his, and Ahmed Shalabi, who is his uncle. It's an incestuous little network of people who were in the opposition in exile.
Indeed.
But anyway, he had a very interesting message, which is that the Bush administration fell victim of its own ego and arrogance in thinking that it could remake the Middle East, and in particular in not understanding the Pandora's box that it opened by going into Iraq and by empowering the Shia religious parties, both the Iran-connected ones and the sort of the nationalist ones associated with Muqtada al-Sadr, who are now, of course, the dominant parties in the ruling Shia bloc. So I was impressed by his presentation. I think precisely because he's so reasonable, he's not going to be, despite his role as advisor to the prime minister, he's far too reasonable to be a real leader of Iraq, because that country seems determined to be hostage to its most retrograde and violent-leaning elements.
And let me ask.
You're breaking up
there a little, Bob. Just
now that the
we're losing Bob Dreyfus. We'll give it a second and hope that the gods of the cell. Oh, well, let's see if we can get him back, Katrina, and we'll see if we can get a better connection there. I'm looking at a story written by the Associated Press about this book, The Occupation of Iraq, that Robert Dreyfus was just describing, and it's written by Ali Alawi, and the terms apparently used. Says here, it's an unsparing look at the failures of Americans and Iraqis, an account in which the word ignorance crops up repeatedly. First came the monumental ignorance of those in Washington pushing for war, without the faintest idea of Iraq's realities. More perceptive people knew instinctively that the invasion of Iraq would open up the great fissures in Iraqi society. And he writes, what followed was the rank amateurism and swaggering arrogance of the occupation under Paul Bremer's coalition provisional authority, and took steps, of course, with little consultation with the Iraqis. Bob, you were breaking up there as you made your last comments, and then we lost you. What I wanted to ask is what Mr. Alawi suggests are the proper steps for the U.S. to take at this time. Should we be restoring the army absent its top leadership? Should we have a re-Ba'athification program of some sort?
Well, he says that in order to stabilize Iraq, it's going to first and foremost involve the process of engaging all of Iraq's neighbors to work with their clients and constituents and allies inside the country. And so the Syrians and the Jordanians and the Saudis and the Iranians and the Turks all need to get involved with other international powers to help negotiate a compact that would begin the process of national reconciliation. He didn't talk about the army and the de-Ba'athification aspect per se, but I think he implied that those would be two key steps in terms of what an eventual national compact would look like. And he admitted in the question that the Iraqi people and most of the political leaders in Iraq want the United States to leave, that there's a consensus in Iraq that would have the United States depart from the country, hopefully as part of a negotiated arrangement with, that would reduce the possibilities of civil war.
Robert Dreyfus with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Go to his website, Robert Dreyfus, DREYFUSS.com, and you can link to an article that he recently wrote for the Washington Monthly, and he came on this program to discuss, which was a look at the scenarios with an eventual American pullout from Iraq. And Bob, I'm wondering if Mr. Alawi made any comments today that addressed the issues that you raised there regarding a potential U.S. Step back or withdrawal?
He, I think, would like to see an American withdrawal. And I think he's reflecting the majority Iraqi view. I don't think that he wants to see it happen immediately, but in the context of, 12 to 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with that, because I don't think there's going to be any immediate withdrawal anyway. I think 12 to 18 months is about the, practically speaking, the best we can hope for. he did say that were the United States to leave immediately, that the Shiite religious powers would consolidate control of the Iraqi state, and that the Sunni resistance would then harden in response to that, and that that would then require a great deal more effort to solve the problem, because you'd have extremist forces on both sides, getting stronger.
Right.
So I think what he would like to see was a lessening of the Shiite religious forces and their control over the state, and at the same time, a greater accommodation. He makes a very strong case for empowering the Sunnis, that the Shia would have to give up some of their gains in order to bring the Sunnis into a deal, and that Iran would have to accept limits on its power in Iraq in order to retain some of the gains that it has made as a state, that is, as the state of Iran,
right,
since the elimination of Saddam. Obviously, Iran has become vastly strengthened by the disappearance of the old Iraqi government.
Bob, I wish I had time for more, but I'm late for a break here. So I want to thank you for checking in from Washington today with that live report.
My pleasure always, Peter.
Okay, we'll talk again soon. Robert Dreyfus, visit his website, robertdreyfus.com. And he's been talking about this new book, The Occupation of Iraq, written by Ali Alawi. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Hey, everybody, let's take a look at the very latest and start us off with a problem report. Let's see how we're looking. CHP telling us that we have a problem in, Monterey. It's northbound 1 at Soledad Drive. Looks like a car hit a tree there, and this is still ongoing. It looks like we have a southbound 1 at Munras. It is a, Caltrans crews are cutting up a tree on the right shoulder, so very well could be that same crash. They're not being very descriptive about what's happening there. Highway 84, slow traffic due to an earlier crash. That is really the only other information we have at this time. And then we must tell you about, Highway 17. Things looking pretty good there. In fact, it's at the speed limit in both directions. We're going to let you know that this report is brought to you by the folks at Unisol.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Ladies and gentlemen, about 10 days ago, I shared some information with you, and I properly identified where it came from and that it was not fully corroborated. It was the information from reporter Webster G. Tarpley that last Friday, April 6th, was the date set for a sneak attack by U.S. forces against Iran. And at this time, I am delighted to acknowledge that that information was not correct.
Excuse me.
That's what I'd been hoping for, and you now have my official apology. Back to your calls. We have Lorna in Eureka. Hello, Lorna. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show. How about that?
It's great. Hi, Peter. I love your show. I listen in the afternoon.
Well, thank you.
And I'm calling because I have a PhD in gloating, and I have 18 solar panels on our roof that went in last fall, and I need to tell you that our PG&E bill last month was $18.
Ouch. Wow,
yeah.
That's a beautiful thing.
And it was mostly gas, and the rest of it was just a $5 service charge from PG&E. We actually had free electricity.
Now, are you feeding the grid?
Yes, we are feeding the grid.
So,
and at the end of the last year, at the end of Christmas, we had a $300 surplus that we fed back to our neighbors because we couldn't use it all. We had more than we could use.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
Now, give us an idea of where you are. I don't need the actual address, but are you inland and are you...
I'm in the city of Eureka, which is pretty foggy, overcast. And
that's what I was...
When it was overcast, we could hear that ka-ching sound up there.
Uh-huh.
So making money.
The UVs get through even when the fog is thick.
Well, not when it's real thick, but, mm-hmm. You know, it does get through, but a little less when it's thicker. But
uh-huh.
And we have plenty of sun up here, and we had more than we could use.
Now, what did you have to invest the capital side of putting in the solar gear?
Well, after we got a $7,000 rebate from the state of California, it cost about $15,000.
That's not bad.
Well, we didn't have the money. We just took a little equity loan out on our house, and it's paying off.
Wow.
So I'm telling people it's like money in the bank.
Well, thanks for gloating.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that. Now, did we get your address? I want to send you a DVD.
Oh, I'd love that.
Okay. It's out of balance, and we'll put one in the mail to you. It's probably going to take about 10 days because we don't actually have the DVDs yet.
No hurry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lorna. Hold on, and Katrina will get your address. And Steven Salinas, thanks for your call. You're next.
Good afternoon. I just heard the last couple of minutes of your conversation with a lady about hybrid vehicles.
Yeah, Sherry Boschert.
I have a question I've been thinking about for a long time. I if this came up, might there be a way to adapt those engines to fit in cars that people already have? Like I have a 2001 minivan. Might it be possible to adapt a hybrid engine to fit into that?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. If you go to sherryboschert.com,
B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T.
B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T? Yeah, I bet you can email her, and she's very bright. She's on top of all this stuff. And will you let me know what you learned?
Yeah.
Okay.
And another thing about Imus.
Yeah.
I'm kind of tired of talking about him, but this guy has a history of racism and sexism.
Yeah.
And for me, his apology means absolutely nothing. I think he's sorry he got caught. And it's like if I were a thief, how many times could I apologize for stealing stuff before they'd send me to jail?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If he didn't have a history of it, it would be one thing, but he has a long history of being a racist and a sexist.
Yeah, he'd be a repeat offender.
Yes.
That's what he is. Thanks a lot. I appreciate that. Now to line four, and it's Brian in New Hampshire. Hey, Brian.
Hi. I wanted to, these morning talk show, I believe talk show hosts in general, these right-wingers, that they're all filled with social Darwinistic hatred anyways. I'd only heard bits of his show. He's got like a co-host, a guy named Bernard that's a real hateful, wise guy.
Uh-huh.
That might be a...
Brian? You made a very prescient remark there, because I've noticed this recently. There's a guy named Mancow who has a syndicated show. He's very good and he's very funny, but he is fixated on rape and murder and executing the people who he exploits as he, you know, gloats about, or not gloats, but, you know, just luxuriates, I guess is the word, in, you know, exploiting these kind of violent and sexual crimes. And then he says, oh, let's snuff them, let's kill them. And
that's for the judicial branch of the government to deal with. It's not even for court TV to have to deal with it. Yeah. It's the actual adjudication of these things.
And it's shock radio. It's shock radio that advances a very conservative agenda. You have an excellent point there.
Yeah, and I was going to say, well, your guest that was on, the guy about foreign policy, there's a lot I could say, but there's not enough time. But the guy that was on before talking about, you know, why they haven't brought some kind of articles, plural, of impeachment, the Democratic Congress before the Congress is beyond me. That Cynthia McKinney is still the only one. She did that late in December of the last Congress last year.
Brian, I got to run. Trigger's here, and I'm riding off into the sunset. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. We're going to do this again tomorrow, same time, same stations. I hope you'll join me. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Visit our website, peterbcollins.com.
Keep smiling.
Pour me another tequila, Sheila.
Here's what people are saying about the hottest new show in town.
Joe, thank you so much for being here.
I want to wish you the best of luck with this. I think it's a great service.
Hey, drink up. All you people.
12-Step Talk Uncensored, where we take the shame and blame out of addiction. Join me, Sheila Gale, Saturday afternoons, 4 to 5. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Radio host Don Imus continued his apology marathon today, first on his own show and then on the air with activist Al Sharpton. Imus said the Rutgers women's basketball team didn't deserve the things he said about them.
Our agenda is to try to be funny, and sometimes we go too far, and sometimes we go way too far.
Imus's bosses agree. CBS Radio announced late today that he'll be suspended for 2 weeks starting next Monday, and MSNBC, which simulcasts the show on cable, is doing the same. Spokeswoman Allison Gollust.
Don Imus has expressed profound regret and embarrassment and has made a commitment to listen to all of those who have raised legitimate expressions of outrage. In addition, his dedication and his words to change the discourse on his program moving forward have confirmed for us that this action is appropriate.
She says MSNBC's future relationship with Imus is contingent on his ability to live up to his word. Iran's President Ahmadinejad made another defiant speech today. He declared that Iran now belongs to the world's nuclear club with 3,000 centrifuges enriching uranium. Ahmadinejad insists his country's nuclear ambitions are peaceful, but the United States and its allies believe Iran is intent on producing nuclear weapons. With that number of centrifuges operating, Western experts say Iran could have enough material for a bomb in about a year. The White House says it's a sign of progress in Iraq. Tens of thousands took to the streets today demanding an end to the U.S. occupation. Reporter Martin Seemungal has the story.
From the holy Shiite city of Najaf, a tough message repeated for hours by tens of thousands. Get out, they chanted. Get out, you occupiers. Everyone here knows who that is.
We call for the withdrawal of the occupier and the withdrawal of the last American soldier.
The show of force orchestrated by Muqtada al-Sadr, the radical Shiite cleric, remains in hiding. But today again, he proved that he commands an enormous following among Iraq's largest religious group.
This was the fourth anniversary of the fall of Baghdad when Saddam Hussein's statue was toppled after the U.S.-led invasion. A simple questionnaire might